we can agree that Christmas morning is a time when we can all celebrate together as a radio community, as a family, as a nation. So give me a shout over the next 3 hours. Tell me what you're up to, where you are in the world, what Christmas means to you. How do you strike the right balance as a parent between bowing to the material desires of your children and educating them about the values of the Christmas teachings? That's all coming up here on LBC. Phone in on whatever you like. Pick up the phone right now, 0345 6060 973. It's the number to call.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the King and Queen will be joined by other members of the royal family for their traditional Christmas Day at Sandringham. The King's speech is coming from Westminster Abbey later, and it's the second time he's delivered his address outside of a royal residence. Chief Royal Correspondent at Newsweek, Jack Royson, has told LBC the choice of venue for the message is significant.
Because a number of kings are buried at the Abbey. So that will give a huge kind of deep historical resonance to Charles's appearance. But it's also obviously extremely relevant to the modern royal family. They mark Commonwealth Day there every year. It's just this hugely, incredibly important venue in royal life.
And you'll be able to hear the full address at 3 o'clock here on LBC. Warnings for cold and windy weather are set to come into force this Christmas Day. The UK Health Security Agency has issued a yellow alert for cold weather from 6 o'clock this evening for the southwest of England. The Met Office have their separate warnings for wind in the southwest and Wales. Officials in Russia are looking at the latest American-backed proposals to end the war with Ukraine. They include plans to demilitarize eastern parts of the country. Speaking here through a translator, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov says negotiations will continue before any ceasefire.
Based on the information received by the head of state, we now intend to formulate our further position and continue our contacts in the very near future through the existing channels.
A national reward for bravery will be given to civilians and first responders on the scene of the Bondi Beach terror attack. 15 people were killed at a Hanukkah event in Sydney 11 days ago. Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says recognition is important.
At the same time as we've seen the worst of evil and the worst of humanity, we have seen the best of humanity. The bravery and kindness and compassion to fellow Australians that we saw from those who rush to danger.
And snow has been spotted in Jersey this morning, according to the island's meteorological department. That makes it the third official white Christmas there since records began. LBC weather, a mostly dry Christmas day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England, feeling very cold in the strong winds, with highs of 7 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm David Dom.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
Hello, a very good morning. It's 3 minutes past 10 on Christmas morning. A very happy Christmas to everyone listening, wherever you're listening in the world. And I do want to hear from you if you're listening throughout the world, because many of you will have already had your Christmas morning. So you can tell me about it. How did it go? Really, this programme is going to be all about you and your calls and your messages. There's no prescription about what you need to phone in about. You can phone in about anything you like, as long as it's got to do with Christmas. Frankly, I don't want to talk about politics this morning. I don't want to talk about current affairs. I don't want to talk about Donald Trump. Oh, dear, I just mentioned a politician's name, didn't I? My producer asked me this morning, do you want to take Donald Trump's Christmas message this morning? I said, no, thank you very much. I think we can do without that. So it's really In the first hour, I want to really explore the meaning of Christmas. What does Christmas mean to you? Has it changed over the years? Because in a way, Christmas, I think, has become a celebration predominantly for children. And I think we can all, those of you who are of my sort of vintage, we all look back on our childhoods and we have a sort of possibly an idyllic idea of what our childhood was all about, and Christmas was a hugely important part of that. At 4 minutes past 10 in the Dale household at Hall Farm Ashton, in my childhood, we would be queuing up at the sitting room door, which my parents would have locked so we couldn't get in to open the presents until the allotted time. That was around now. We'd rush in very excited with the Christmas tree all lit up, pillowcases bulging with presents, and start ripping. Well, we're actually told we could only do one at a time. So I would do one, my sister would do one, my other sister would do one, then my mum would do one. And it lasted quite a long time. But I don't think we had the volume of presents that kids now get. And when I left the house this morning, we've got my friend, best friend Dan and Laura, his wife, and their four children coming for Christmas dinner this afternoon. And I looked at the piles of presents piled up on the kitchen counter. They'll go, obviously go out under the tree later. And I'm thinking, there's like 10 for each of them. Isn't that a little bit over the top? Have we gone a little bit over the top at Christmas? 0345 6060 973. Well, let's put this into a little bit of context. Now, some of you who are on TikTok and Instagram will know someone called Sonny Green. We had him on the program a couple of months ago when he'd done a sort of a rap poem, and he was absolutely brilliant. And he popped up on my Instagram reel a couple of days ago talking about what Christmas has come to mean. Let's hear a little bit of that now.
Do you think Christmas has lost its meaning? Because before the adverts, before the sales, and before credit cards crying in January, there was St. Nicholas. Not a logo, not a brand. A man who gave quietly to people who needed it the most. No receipts, no spotlight, just love in action. But somewhere along the way, the story got hijacked. Now Christmas comes with pressure. Spend money you haven't got to prove love to people who don't need the proof. They tell us love looks like boxes, that joy comes with interest rates, and that being a good parent means being a good consumer. But that's not how it started. They brought gifts to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, symbols, not shopping lists. And Jesus, he said, give to the poor. Love your neighbour. Choose people over profit. He never said, buy more. He said, love more. So what are we teaching our children? That the best gift wins. That love is measured in price tags. Buying your kid a brand new bike means nothing if you don't have the time to teach them how to ride it. Because it was never about the bike. It was about being there. And somewhere we forgot that. But maybe the real gift was never under the tree, but it was around it. Time, peace, family. Christmas weren't meant to empty our pockets. It was meant to fill our hearts. And that gift doesn't cost a thing.
I don't know about you, but that's made me feel quite emotional. And that's about the fourth time I've heard it. So it's quite impactful when it makes you feel emotional after you've heard it four times. But he's right, isn't it? He is absolutely right that the meaning of Christmas seems to have changed over the years. Now, I think that is partly because as we become adults, as we grow older, we realise that Christmas isn't about us. It is about the children, and maybe it always was. And I wonder whether we lose some of the religious aspect of Christmas as well. We'll talk about a little bit more about that in the second hour. Couple of texts have already come in. Jordan says, Ian, can we please have people singing carols down the phone again like last year? That was quite something last year, because I hadn't done the Christmas morning show for about, I think, 12 years. No, I did it last year. And we had literally people phoning in singing down the phone. Now, I'm not going to promise that we're going to repeat that, but if you wish to sing down the phone to me, and you've got a reasonable voice, I mean, we did have a couple last year, shall we say, with slightly dodgy voices, Or you can send a voice note via WhatsApp as well, 0345 6060973, if you can't pluck up courage to actually do it live on the programme. It was quite memorable last year, I have to say. So we can do a little bit of that. I'd also love to hear from people from Jersey, because you've got snow. I think in my 63 years, I've only experienced a white Christmas once. And that was, I think, in the early 70s, when I was still a child. We used to get a lot of snow just after New Year, but not at Christmas, and that's never really happened since. Certainly not in the south of England. I'm sure if you live in Scotland, you will have experienced snow relatively often. Now, you've heard from Sonny Green there. Now, I said last year on the programme that Christmas would not be Christmas without hearing from Cliff Richard. Well, Sean Fletcher did a little interview with Cliff Richard this year, and let's just play a few seconds of that now.
What does Christmas mean to you?
Well, I've been asked this so many times. I guess as a Christian, there's a spiritual aspect that is the reason for it all. I still enjoy all the turkey and the trimmings. Of course I do. But this was the birth of the opportunity for us to recognize that love and peace was offered. And we have to accept it to be able to do it. We don't have peace on the planet. We don't have love on the planet because more and more people are moving away from the original idea.
Have we moved away from the original idea of Christmas? I mean, Christmas is all about celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus, isn't it? Always has been. Now, people say, well, that's a bit exclusive, isn't it? Because it means that people from other religions can't celebrate Christmas. Well, of course they can. And we heard yesterday on the programme that in Saudi Arabia, all of the shopping malls, they've got Christmas lights up, Christmas decorations. And you think, well, if Christmas can be celebrated in a Muslim country like Saudi Arabia, why on earth should anyone think that Christmas is exclusive in this country? It is a Christian festival, absolutely. But Jesus is a in Islam is a prophet, and I think that people of other faiths, other denominations who live in this country actually love the Christmas period as well, and it's kind of a national celebration as well as a religious one, isn't it? It is part of Britain, and if you live in Britain, if you love Britain, you kind of want to fit in. You go along with the celebrations. You might not have the roast turkey for lunch. You might have something different. We had a call yesterday on the program, which was fantastic. Unfortunately, I can't remember his name now, but he's got an Indian restaurant in Sitting Bull in Kent, and they've opened it for Christmas for the first time, and it's been fully booked for weeks. Now, I think it's very odd to sort of possibly have an Indian meal for Christmas lunch, but different strokes for different folks, isn't it? Nothing wrong with it at all. Right, let's go to Jordan, his first-time caller in Hemel Hempstead. Jordan, hi.
Hello, Ian. I'm not a first-time caller.
Well, it
I'm
says you are here.
I texted you about singing Christmas carols, and then my wife and your lovely producer convinced me that I should do it.
You are going to sing me a carol, are you?
Apparently so. But first of all, I'd really love to echo your previous callers. I didn't catch his name. I was on the phone to your lovely producer. But absolutely, just it's about spending time with the kids and the family. And I've got my wife's wonderful family with us at the moment. And then later, my parents and my brother are coming. It's just a day of, you know, being merry and eating too much and just, yeah, I'm a bit of a Grinch when it comes to the build-up to Christmas, to be fair, but the actual day is just wonderful.
Well, people accuse me of that, because I don't like Christmas decorations going up in November. I just think it's crass.
But they had Christmas decorations in Tesco before Halloween.
No, that's just wrong, isn't it?
It's just wrong.
I mean, and do people really... I suppose they must buy things. People must buy things then, otherwise they wouldn't do it, I suppose. So it is all about the money. I can't get into the Christmas spirit until just before Christmas. As I said yesterday, we only put our tree up on the 23rd, which some people think is very odd, but I think
that's my kind of Christmas.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Well done, I mean, you might have as kids, you have an advent calendar from the beginning of December, but no lights on houses until the week before Christmas, I say.
Hey.
Excellent. Right, what are you going to sing me then, Jordan?
I still haven't worked it out. let's go with the only one I could sing the whole way through.
Right, but you realise that
Jingle Bells.
Go on.
Go on. I'm not the best voice down the phone. I do apologise. I hope someone better than me will call in. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Over fields we go, laughing all the way. I said I'd know it the whole way through. Well, I'm afraid I've just got stage fright. Thank you very much.
Well, you've got the seal of approval from Mina, my producer, who just said in my, he's very good, isn't he?
Oh,
well, you actually sang in tune, which frankly is more than I would do, because however brilliant our callers are singing things to me down the phone over the next 3 hours, you're not going to get me singing, because it would mean that we'd be taken off the air probably, and no one wants that.
Is it Ian in Blackburn that does the meatloaf?
Terry in Bournemouth. I'd be very disappointed if he isn't listening this morning. unfortunately, there are no meatloaf Christmas songs. But if he wants to give us a burst of Paradise by the Dashboard Light, or You Took the Words Right Out of My Mouth, he's very welcome to come on and give us a burst of that.
I'll drink to that. Merry Christmas.
I think it's what the nation demands. Jordan, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you very much for getting us off to such a good start. I'm delighted to say Constance in Woking is next. If you listen to my evening programme, you'll know Constance in Woking. She phones in reasonably regularly. She's 101 years old and she's amazing. As you're about to find out, it's 10:15.
This is LBC.
That feeling when mum puts you in charge of making a side dish, but the recipe that looked so easy online ends up burning on your watch. There's no such thing as the perfect Christmas, but there are perfect moments. This year, make the most of moments that matter with Coca-Cola. Whether you're getting ready to feed the masses or chatting with your colleagues about this year's Christmas party, refresh your holiday spirit with Coca-Cola, the perfect drink for sharing in the moment. Coca-Cola, holidays are coming.
Hi, I'm Andrew from New Zealand and Australia travel specialist, Travel Essence. For a tailor-made holiday unlike any other, find your way to us. Our local knowledge saves you time and money, and our experience is your guarantee of quality. We are also members of ABTA and ETOL. Amazing journeys down under start at travelessence.co.uk.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Caterpillar Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot Bears. And four giant slides on the brand new Wave Runner 2. Let's plunge!
What's next, Dad?
Cannon Arena Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom Go-Karts, Trampolines, Magical Wood and Cafes.
Nutcatch Adventure Park.
The sun goes on and on and on and on.
Book now at nutcatch.com.
Ian Dale. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
18 minutes past 10 on LBC. Dave says, can we stop saying that the original real meaning of Christmas or story of Christmas is about Jesus? When Christians settled in the UK, they hijacked the pagan winter solstice festival. Hijacking existing cultural expressions remains one of the most effective ways to embed new ideas and layered on top to fit their message. I have no objection to people who believe in Jesus celebrating Christmas in a religious way, but it's certainly not the original story of the festival. And many of the symbols we use, and I think that by embracing some of these true history of this time of year and the festival that has existed in this country for so many years, actually brings far more refreshing celebration, reflective moments, and valuable time with family and friends. There are so many interesting cultures and traditions that predate the Christian hijacking of the winter festival. You do you, whatever that means. And if you believe in Jesus, crack on. Christmas is actually one of the most modern of Christian holidays and festivals. But for the increasing percentage of the population that don't, do not fear. Well, okay, up to a point, but it is called Christmas. Christ is in the word Christmas. Now, it happens to take place at the same time as the winter solstice. Not the same in Australia, of course. Is that called the winter solstice in Australia? I would have thought it would be called whatever the summer equivalent is. So I take the point that this time of year, it is a sort of pagan festival, but we mustn't forget the original idea that of Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And as I've said many times before, I'm not religious, but I do believe Jesus existed. And I totally understand why people who are devout Christians want to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. 0345 6060 973. As I said at the beginning of the programme, you can phone in on anything you like, whether it's to do with the religious significance of Christmas, whether you want to tell me what you're up to this Christmas morning. Several of you say you're walking your dogs. Well, that's a very worthy thing to do, because dogs can enjoy Christmas too. We used to set two places for our dogs at Christmas lunch when I was a child. Honey and Glenn, our Labrador, and Jack Russell, they used to sit up at the table, they'd have their own plate. I know some people will find this deeply weird, but that was just how it was in the Dale household back in the day. Now, delighted to say that Constance in Woking has phoned in, because if she hadn't phoned us, we were going to phone her, because I said weeks ago, Constance, didn't I, that I wanted to talk to you on Christmas morning, and here we are.
Hello?
Constance, hi. Happy Christmas.
And same to you, Ian. My line is very bad and my voice is very bad, so I hope you can hear me.
We can, absolutely. My voice isn't too good because I've got a filthy code.
I wish you and your partner and your producers and all at LBC a very happy day and a healthy and happy new year. LBC altogether, you've been my company for the last year. And I wonder if you'd be so kind as to let me have a word with my family in South Africa.
Yep. Do you want to send them good wishes over the radio?
Sorry?
Do you want to send them good wishes over the radio?
Yes, if I may.
Please do.
Can I do that now?
Yes.
Right. To all my family in East London, South Africa, to my nieces, Karen and Sandra, my nephew, Keith, all their children and their children's children and the next generation to come. I know you're all going to have a lovely, usual Christmas gathering right on the beach near where you live. So God bless you all and all the rest of you. Secondly, I would like to wish all those at my care firm in Woking, I don't know whether I can name them.
Yes, do.
Home instead. And particularly the carers that come to me during the day. And thirdly, but certainly not least of all, to all the dear veterans from the last war. You'll all be round about my age, and I'll be thinking of you. Bless you all, and may you, as we go on wherever we're going to go, you can go with your heads held pride. We will never have another generation like ours. God bless you all.
Well, Constance, that was beautifully done.
Sorry, I really can't hear you.
Well, Constance, it was beautifully done. Thank you very much for phoning in. I'm going to pass your regards on to Corey and Chris, my producers who are normally on the show. They're at home with their families, and they'll be delighted that you phoned in. Happy Christmas. That's Constance in Woking there, who's been a regular feature on the programme for several years now. She's 101 years old, and it's all... So I'm going to get emotional now. So almost made my Christmas that she's phoned in. Let's go to Ali in Tower Hamlets. Ali, hi.
Oh, hello there. God bless you and that caller just now. Oh, man, you're going to make me tear up as well, man. I'd like to say Merry Christmas to you and to all your LBC listeners. And I'm calling in today because you guys were talking about the Christmas songs earlier.
Yeah.
And me and my charity group, we've made a song on my YouTube channel for Christmas, and it's for a hospice called the Haven Hospice for Children in London. And it's a beautiful song, and I was wondering, would you guys help me get some views up there and some donations?
Yeah, well, I don't know, how can we play it?
It's on my food review channel that I do as a blind person for charity. It's called Man, I'm Hungry Reviews. And right. You'll find the link there for the Haven Hospice and the Christmas song.
I'm going to put you back to Mina, my producer, and you can tell her the exact YouTube, where she can find it on YouTube. She'll get a clip from it. We'll play it, and then we'll come back to you, Ali, and you can tell us more about
excellent.
It.
Oh, excellent.
Is that all right? So stay on the line.
Oh, thank you.
See, that's the sort of thing that I love doing, that sort of thing. And Robbie in Chelmsford, he's actually sent us a video. Now, videos don't really work on radio, do they? He sent us a video of him singing a religious carol. Shall we hear that right now?
A spaceman came travelling on his ship from afar. 'Twas light years of time since his mission did start. And over a village he halted his craft, and it hung in the sky like a star, just like a star.
That wasn't bad, Robbie. No, I quite liked that. And that's, so we've had two so far, both of which have been rather good. So everybody's got a high standard to live up to. Fred's in Normandy. Hello, Fred.
Hello, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Merry Christmas. Last October, I went to a reunion at near Derby. What's it called? The Arboretum. And it was a 50-year anniversary, yeah?
Right.
And 4 days before the anniversary, I so admired Ranjit, who phoned you regularly here at other stations, yeah?
Yep.
And 4 days before...
Sorry, did you say he phones other stations? You mean he's betrayed me?
No. We don't speak to other presenters, doesn't he?
Oh, that's fine, But, oh, God, if you went to other stations, that would be the end of the world. I'd have to take him to task for it.
On a little detective work on my part, I knew he had a friendship show, and he said where his constituency was. And I managed to trace him and get his phone number. And I phoned him. And on the way to Derby, we made a detour. I went and seen him. And we had fish and chips. He said that it's a takeaway.
Yeah.
And he set up a table in his office. And we had fish and chips. He's a delightful man. Have you met him, by the way?
I haven't met him, no.
Oh, he's a charming man. Charming. In fact, he phoned me last night, wished me Merry Christmas. And when I was at this reunion, which is a 50-year reunion for the Airborne, I bought a painting and made a detour on the way back and gave it to him, or left it for him, for my newfound friend, Rajit. I thought...
Well, I think that's wonderful, because I said that the LBC listeners, I think, are a real radio community, and you've rather proved that with this anecdote, which I thought was starting in a bit of a stalkerish way, but it's ended very well.
Yeah, and there's one other point, Ian. I was born in 1939. I was illegitimate, brought up by my grandparents, and when I was 12. I was told that I may have a half-sister somewhere. Well, I've been looking for her off and on over the years. And about a year ago, we made contact. She's just coming up to 80, and she lives in Benidorm in Spain. and we're in constant contact with each other. Isn't that nice?
Well, I think that's amazing. And
after all those years,
how did you find her?
My real father, I met him twice during the war, and I can remember him, yes. And he married again and had one child, but it was somewhere distant. The communication wasn't as it is today. Anyway, she's been looking for me. I've been looking for her, and we found each other. Yeah.
How did you find her?
Through my granddaughter did through DNA.
Right.
And we're going to meet up next year. My daughter's going to take me down to Ren and then fly to Benidorm, and we're going to meet up, yeah.
Well, that's fantastic, Fred. Thank you very much indeed for your call. Keep your calls coming, 0345 6060 973. Let's get the latest news headlines on LBC with David Dom.
The King has been joined by other members of the royal family for their Christmas Day at Sandringham. Thousands of people have gathered at the Norfolk estate to see the royals before their Christmas Day service. Wes Streeting has told LBC next Christmas he will still be the Health Secretary and not the Prime Minister. Mr. Streeting adds he feels progress this year shows the NHS is on the road to recovery. And there are weather warnings for cold and windy conditions in the southwest of England and parts of Wales. Forecasters in Jersey say snowflakes have been spotted there this morning, making it the island's third white Christmas on record. LBC weather, a mostly dry Christmas day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and northeast England, feeling very cold in the strong winds with a high of 7 degrees.
This is LBC.
With Amex Gold, Dan earns points on obscure vintage football shirts and cheesy chips before the match and on tickets to the game. And he could put those points towards the cab home when they lose 4-0. And that's because Amex Gold lets you earn points on what you love and what you don't to spend on things you like.
Representative 86.3% APR variable. Annual fee applies after the first year. Terms apply. 18 plus. Subject to approval.
That feeling when mum puts you in charge of making a side dish, but the recipe that looks so easy online ends up burning on your watch. There's no such thing as the perfect Christmas, but there are perfect moments. This year, make the most of moments that matter with Coca-Cola. Whether you're getting ready to feed the masses or chatting with your colleagues about this year's Christmas party, refresh your holiday spirit with Coca-Cola, the perfect drink for sharing in the moment. Coca-Cola, holidays are coming.
Same.
Ho, ho, ho!
Same.
3, 2, 1, hey!
Same.
Whoa. Thanks.
Same.
What does Santa call his dog?
Same. Same.
One word. 3 syllables.
Same. Same.
Sorry, it's a bit dry.
New plates.
Ooh.
Treat your table to something different this Christmas. Visit your local IKEA now. IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
Lost World Play Barn. Dragon Castle Children's Farm. Jumping pillows, wallabies, froggy stuff play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quadapillar, Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot, Bears. Kids, put on your swimmers for Jungle Splash.
Yeah, let's go, Mum.
Right. Cannon Arena, Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom, Go-Karts, Wave Runner 2, Magical Wood and Cafes.
Not Catch Adventure Park. Book now at notcatch.com.
This is LBC with Ian Dale. Call 0345 6060 973.
10:33 on LBC. Let's take a couple of texts and WhatsApp messages. Don says, Merry Christmas, Ian. Just walking my dog, Bertie. Brrr, I can't do the rolling of the R's. It's cold out here. It really is, isn't it? I really did think we might get a little bit of snow today when I got up this morning, but I don't think we are. Unless, of course, you're in Jersey. And if you are in Jersey, give us a call and tell me how much snow you've got, because I'm very, very jealous about having snow on Christmas Day. Chris says, Merry Christmas, walking the dog on a chilly morning in Abingdon while the wife and kids are warm at home with their presents. Hope you and John have a great day. Thank you very much indeed. Gordon says, Happy Christmas, Ian, a Christmas lunch to make and Ian Dale and LBC to listen to in the background. Heaven. Well, Can't get a much bigger compliment than that. Diane says, hope you're feeling a bit better. Yes, I'm okay. I've still got the snivels, but as you can probably hear, but I'm here. That's the main thing. You were amused yesterday when I told you about Santa visiting us in a hotel in Sharm el-Sheikh. Here's a photo, and may I congratulate you on your Welsh pronunciation. I'll stick to English today. I can't actually look at that photo on my screen at the moment, Diane, but I'm sure it's brilliant. Simon says, are you that bad when you sing that deaf people refuse to read your lips? Yeah, it really is that bad. Though, you can try and persuade me before the end of the programme, because if Corey, my normal producer, was here producing the programme, he would literally cut my microphone if I started to sing. But Mina's probably, she's a bit more amenable. Get it? Oh, she likes that. And here's one from Harpreet, who says, Christmas does not have any religious significance for me. However, I think Christmas is a time that's very important in this time of strife, not only in the global, on the global stage, but at the domestic stage as well. It's a time to engage and put differences aside. That's from Narinda. Hear. John says, people are definitely buying presents and decorations earlier because they're short on money. Being able to buy things a couple of months before Christmas helps with budgeting. That is probably true. If you think you can get a bargain in September, October and save a bit of money, you're going to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, I guess. I suppose I'm just a traditionalist and I like to think that everything happens in December before Christmas. But no, it's a really good point you make. That's John in Hartlepool. Dale in Birmingham says, Ian, I'm a big lager drinker and a football fan, and Constance had me in tears. You're a top bloke. Well, you're a top bloke too. I mean, anyone with the name Dale has to be a top bloke, don't they? Helen is being a bit grinchy. She says, please stop saying Happy Christmas. We're not in the USA. It's Merry Christmas in the UK. It's Happy New Year. Well, Helen in Edinburgh, Happy Christmas to you too. I'll say what I like. I don't regard it as an American affectation to say Happy Christmas. I've always said Happy Christmas before I knew America even existed. And a shout out, we don't normally do dedications on Speech Radio, it's sort of more for our music colleagues, but this is Merry Christmas to Scott Lander and his partner Glenn in Melbourne, Australia, with love from Cousin Ben in Southsea. Right, it's that moment that you've been waiting for. Ali teased us from his YouTube video. This is Ali's fundraising song.
This Christmas, all I want is love. This Christmas, I know that Santa's flying from above. And it doesn't matter how big or small the gift you give. 'Cause no matter what, all we got is love right here.
You're listening to Smooth FM here on LBC. No, you're not really. You're listening to LBC. Ali in Tower Hamlets. Now, I'm guessing that wasn't you singing.
No, that wasn't. That was my lovely friend, Tia Pierman, and she sung it with the children of the Stage One Theatre and to raise money for Haven Hospice Children's Hospice. And she done that. So I just wanted to give her a bit of promotion. And you can find that song and the link onto my food review channel that I do as a blind person called Man, I'm Hungry Reviews.
Well, I would encourage everybody to donate some money because I'm familiar with Haven because I think West Ham do quite a lot of work with them as well and help them raise money. So it's a great cause, Ali, and thank you for telling us all about it. And that was actually a really nice song to listen to, wasn't it? And was it a choir from Haven House as well?
There were some children from the Stage One Theatre.
Right.
Stage One Theatre group. Children go and do like theatre lessons and stuff like that. So she teamed up with them and some children from the Haven as well, yes.
Well, Teresa in Colindale says, that song is amazing. The charity song is brilliant. So you've got some fans as a result of that, Ali, and hopefully a little bit of money too.
Oh, thank you. You'll find it on my Christmas special Savoy video, Man I'm Hungry Reviews, the song and the link.
Brilliant. Ali, happy Christmas. Thank you very much indeed. Alan is in Plymouth. Hello, Alan.
Good morning. I suppose I have to say, long-time listener, first-time caller.
You do. It's almost obligatory, isn't it?
I think so.
It's the second-time callers that I always like, when people say I'm a second-time caller and I'm not at all nervous.
Well, we'll see how we get on.
What would you like to tell us?
Well, first of all, I sent a little thing through the WhatsApp when I got a call back from the switchboard. I'm 70 now. When I was about 10 or 11, my mum wrote the three of us, my brother and my sister, a little song, which she sang incessantly every year. And we used to cover our eyes and go, oh, no. Now she's gone. It's a source of great joy to both of all three of us. And it's only one verse. I can't promise to sing it to the level that everyone else has. But if you're prepared to listen, I'm prepared to do it.
Well, fire away, Alan. Our breath is bated.
Okay, then. It starts, soon it will be Christmas Day. We will have a lovely play with the toys that Santa brings. While the bells give merry ring, we shall have some purdan cake, some mince pies my mum will make. Over there's a Christmas tree, on top a fairy, you will see.
Very good. If we had that sort of zoo clapping that Steve Wright used to have on his programme, we would play it now, but I don't have that, unless we could I think we should manufacture that up for later in the programme. They're all clapping in the gallery, so that's all that matters.
Well, thank you very much, and it's been a pleasure listening to you through the year in your evening programme and your podcasts.
Well, you're very kind, Alan. Thank you very much indeed. You know, Alan gave me a reminder there of something that my mother used to sing while she was cooking the Christmas lunch, peeling the potatoes at the kitchen sink. And I've just asked Mina to print off the lyrics from this. It's really a poem rather than a song, so I'm not going to sing it as such, but I will read it out to you. Some of you will be very familiar with it. Right, we've got, oh my goodness, I've just seen who's on the line. It's my lovely friend and podcast co-host, Tessa Dunlop, and her younger brother, Duncan. Happy Christmas to you both.
Happy Christmas!
Christmas, Ian.
Now you're
know I'm your friend and she's just the podcast host there. Good introduction.
You are in Dunbar, not that far from Edinburgh, having a lovely family Christmas. Have you had any arguments yet? Because you know what she's like, Duncan.
Yes, it's been by the way, happy Christmas. And, you know, these are first world problems, but the sleeping arrangements weren't quite to standard, Ian. Okay.
Oh dear.
There was a lot of bed hopping in the night, and somehow I sacrificed my sleep for baby Jesus.
Yeah, you don't sleep. We all know that.
Yeah, we really do all know that. Normally, it's like the eight-year-old that comes in to wake you up at 4 a.m, but no, it's Tessa. Looking for a sleeping pill and another bed.
I can well imagine that. With the long-suffering Dan, her husband, who are trying to get a bit of sleep, and she's up already.
I found Dan curled up on a two-seater sofa at 7 in the morning in the kitchen.
Nothing surprises me. So, how does a Scottish Christmas differ from an English Christmas?
Historically, you know, Ian, just it's a much less big celebration in Scotland, but over the last sort of 70 years, that's been blended away. Because I remember when we grew up as children in the Highlands, my dad was the Scot, my mum was the English woman, and they'd always go, bloody English nonsense this Christmas, and Hogmanay was the big one. But nowadays, it's all kind of, all merges into one, because you remember the Scots, and they were much more Calvinist. They didn't believe in all the baubles and the excessive commercialism, but now everyone leans into it with alacrity.
And so what happens during the day in the Dunlop household?
Well, bizarrely, some of them have gone to church, but I think that's because my mother's still going.
Yeah.
Don't put it like that.
Well, very belligerent children when, well, some of them were more so than others.
I think they thought their Christmas presents under the tree were resting on their presents on the pew. So they've all gone to pee to the Lord, as my late father would have said. And the other crisis is the turkey hasn't been frosted. So we may starve this Christmas.
Yeah, so Tessa's mother's a bit like Tessa and was slightly self-involved yesterday. And I said, well, if I put the turkey in here to defrost, will it defrost? Because there's one we'd got that was a bit of a wild turkey. And no, it hasn't. It's still solid as a rock.
You see, Duncan, I met somebody at Tessa's Christmas party on Sunday that told me that you were a male version of her, which slightly filled me with terror.
Yes. Well, it's funny, because I did fact-check that, actually, Ian, because I was quite concerned about this. And she refused it. She went and listened to it. She said, one, they said I like Margaret Thatcher, and two, they said I was like you. And she was in complete
denial. Well, I might have got the wrong person there, but somebody definitely said that to me.
Ian Dale has a way of making everybody pretend they like Margaret Thatcher. Let's escape that tall, bald man who talks about Thatcher a lot. Just say you like him. Just say you like him. Oh, sorry, her. Some of us thought Thatcher was a bit of a man. But she was, I mean, I think admired is the right word for Thatcher, Ian. And one's hoping that there's a lot of Thatcher books and people's stockings just the right size to fit.
Well, one would hope so, but I haven't had any evidence of... Oh, no, actually, no, I did get an email from someone at midnight last night saying that they'd given it to their 16-year-old son for Christmas, but we're not allowed to mention politicians on this programme because it's a politics-free zone this morning.
And also, if Corey was here, he certainly would not let you mention your book.
No, he wouldn't.
Heavy discipline. Listen, we love you very much, in a big kiss from Scotland, okay, a party hat and a pull of a cracker.
Thank you very much indeed, Tessa. That's Tessa Dunlop and her little brother, Duncan. And if you've never listened to our Where Politics Meets History podcast, give it a try, because believe it or not, it's actually quite funny. Well, usually, anyway, when I'm speaking rather than Tessa, obviously. Right, we are going to take more of your calls in a moment. I mean, as I said, it's a bit of an open house programme today, so you can phone in on whatever you like, as long as it's got to do with Christmas. I mean, we're talking about what Christmas means to you. Has the meaning of Christmas changed over the years? Do you think that that Christmas has become so much more commercial over the last 20 years? And you can see that because, like, in the 1940s, 1950s, how old would my mother have been then? Sort of in her teens, she would have had a stocking at the end of her bed with an orange in it. And maybe some dates, maybe a pencil sharpener, just as a bit of a luxury. And then, when I was in my early years, we would have a pillowcase, so much bigger than a stocking. And I'm not sure whether people have pillowcases anymore, because presents have got much bigger, much more voluminous. And I wonder whether you think the sort of commercialisation of Christmas has taken away some of the original meaning. Does Christmas reinforce the whole concept of materialism in society and teach our kids that it's okay to want it and want it now? I think that's a bit of a sad development in many ways, but what do you think? 0345 6060 973. It's 10:47.
I'm Nick Ferrari. Thank you for joining me throughout the year on LBC.
It's not a racist at all to have concerns about your children, one of whom's going to secondary school soon.
If not being a racist means my children are subject to being murdered, going about their daily business, I'll quite happily say that I am.
Is there much point continuing this conversation? Because you don't know where a bridge starts, you don't know where it ends, and you don't know how much it costs.
Nigel Farage came up and claimed you had an obsession with him.
No, that's not the case. I am deeply concerned about reform because I think they will toxically divide our country.
You mentioned Mr. Farage five times.
You are mildly obsessed.
I'll be back in the new year taking your calls on LBC.
Merry Christmas, my love.
Merry Christmas, Mum.
Merry Christmas, Nanny.
Happy New Year!
From the UK's first mobile phone call to the first text, we've been connecting you at Christmas since 1984 on Vodafone, the nation's network. The Nation's Network, Vodafone UK, supporting the nation since 1984. Learn more at vodafone.co.uk/TNN.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
You weren't supposed to burn the potatoes, or invite everyone round at two. We said three. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa, or ask me to marry you. and you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat. And she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including well man, well woman, well baby and well kid. From Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
This is LBC. Message Ian Dale on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60 973.
10:50 on LBC. A very happy or even Merry Christmas to you all. I'm actually really enjoying the phone calls that are coming in today, not just because some of them are regulars. I just think it's lovely to hear from people on Christmas Day. Sometimes you expect them. I mean, Constance, I said to my producer, right, if Constance hasn't phoned in by midday, we're phoning her. And she was the first on the board. So, Constance, you're a lovely, lovely lady. Beverly says, Ian, Constance made me cry too. She's so right. We won't have the world we used to have before materialism took control. What a beautiful lady. Sorry, that's Annabelle from Beverly, not Beverly from Beverly. That really would be odd. Although I suppose there must be a Beverly in Beverly, if you see what I mean. Phil is first-time caller in Bedfordshire. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Ian. Merry Christmas.
Oh, I recognise that voice. You're not a first-time caller. You must have phoned in before.
Possibly many years ago. How's it going?
It's going very well. What's prompted you to pick up the phone?
Well, you know, you asked about Christmas traditions and stuff, and we're doing our Christmas tradition that we started in COVID, which is there's not a turkey in sight. It is Italian all the way, pasta, big pasta bake, salami, bruschetta. The bread's cooking at the moment. We're not going to do any of that turkey stuff because it's a bit boring. People think we're weird, but it makes the shopping really easy.
Yeah, but I know you're weird. So why did you start that in COVID?
So we were all locked down and critically vulnerable people, and I just didn't fancy turkey in 2020. It was like, don't want to have to go all the way to the shops and do all of that where you have to queue and everything, and we have lots of pasta in the house because my wife's Italian, so and it's much nicer.
Yesterday on the programme in the afternoon, we did an hour on why Italians are much more healthy than Brits, particularly what they eat at Christmas, and you're kind of almost proving the point here. And it really was weird to hear all of the sort of pasta dishes that people in Italy might have at Christmas, but every country has their own traditions. And I don't know what other countries in Europe have turkeys. I suspect the Republic of Ireland probably might do, but I doubt whether many of the Scandinavian countries do.
Yeah, no, they probably have herring there, don't they, or something in Finland.
Herring?
Herring.
Herring, oh, I see. I was going to say, roast herring. I think that must be, that's probably illegal.
You're right. Like, the pasta is just wonderful anyway. There's so many shapes, and you can have different things every time you eat it, and it feels like you're eating a different meal. It's great.
Now, are you going to provide us with a song, Phil?
No.
Thank God for that.
I sing worse than you.
No, that cannot be true. But I might join in with the next one, though, because we've got Terry in Bournemouth next.
Oh, well, I'll go and listen to that then.
I think you would. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas to you and the family, Phil. Thank you very much indeed. Phil, how I know Phil is he used to do a really good blog called Dizzy Thinks. Well, he still does from time to time. And he's very good on Twitter. Dizzy Thinks, if you want to follow him. It is our old friend Terry in Bournemouth next. Terry, very good morning.
Good morning, Ian, and happy Christmas. I say happy Christmas.
I was quite shocked to see that. I mean, it's a language police, isn't it?
Oh, it's not fair, especially this time of year. We should be, you know, joyful, happy, all those things. Merry's an old-fashioned word, really. So.
Well, you can't please everybody, can you?
Can I just tell you something? I think you've absolutely got the spirit of Christmas. You did last year, and this year is just phenomenal. Brilliant.
Well, you see, I'm rather anxious that I've started a Christmas tradition of me doing the Christmas morning programme on LBC.
I know.
I might be tied to it now forever and a day.
But before we go any further, do you mind if I do a quick dedication, purely and simply because you've got the spirit right?
Go on.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like an Ian's Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight you'll see is the holly that will be in Tunbridge Wells on your own front door. I couldn't resist that.
You see, I thought...
Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you were going to say the prettiest sight I'll see is Jackie Smith in Malvern.
Of course, I know, but she hasn't rung in yet.
I'll tell you one thing, I'm dead to her
you
now.
You can sing, because you and Jackie sang together. You came to one
did
of
we?
My shows.
What did we sing?
Oh, yes. You was joining, you videoed it, you put it up on your X feed. You and Jackie singing Bat Out of Hell.
Well, you see, Jackie is a terror. She is actually worse than me. Anybody that's ever heard her, believe it or not, she was in some choir in Malvern, and I couldn't believe the fact that they allowed her to keep going.
Oh dear, poor Jackie.
Well, I thought you were going to sing a Meatloaf ditty. Because are you still on tour? Doing your Meatloaf shows.
I've got a little break. The next show I'm doing is on the 16th of January. That's the Back Into Hell show. And
where's that?
Just have a look. Shall I tell you where it is?
Yeah.
Just 1 minute.
Because there will be people listening that live in the vicinity. And I have seen Terry's Back Into Hell show, and it is fantastic. He not only sounds like Meatloaf, he looks like Meatloaf, which some people might think I'm saying is an insult, but I'm not at all. And it's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant evening.
Yeah, we're in Kettering. We're in Kettering on the 16th of January, yeah.
Well,
in the main theatre there.
Anybody that lives near Kettering, do yourself a favour. Go onto the Kettering Theatre website now and buy tickets, because you won't regret it. And it's just the most entertaining evening. So, Terry, happy Christmas.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you very much indeed for phoning in. Leslie is in Hayling Island, or is it on Hayling Island?
No, in.
Right.
Well, I suppose on. I don't know. It's not very
it's,
big.
It's like when the Wirral. Are you on the Wirral?
No,
are you in the Wirral?
You're wrong direction. I am on Hayling Island.
No, I know. But
you know,
where
it is?
Hampshire.
Yeah. Between Portsmouth and Chichester.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 miles long by 4 miles wide we are.
Size isn't everything, Leslie.
I did this last year, Ian, if you remember.
You see, when I saw your name, I thought, I'm sure she's phoned in before. And as, believe it or not, I have done a little preparation for this programme. I know it doesn't seem like it, but I have. And I listened to last year's show to sort of work out what I might do this year that would be different to last year. And I had forgotten some of the songs that people sang. And you rang in and you sang Silent Night in German.
That's what I wanted to do today.
Excellent. Carry on.
Before I do, Ian, just for a minute, I watched last night on YouTube the live streaming of Open Dorf, where it was written.
Oh, really?
It was live streamed at 5 o'clock, I think. My husband, my late husband, and I, we had been to the Open Dorf Chapel in the summertime, but I watched it last night on live streaming, and they actually played it on guitar, which is how it was written in the first place.
It sounds as if it was quite moving.
It is. It's worth a watch. It's about half an hour if you want it on YouTube. It's obviously it was live streamed, but it'll stay there.
Listen, we're reaching the end of the hour, Leslie.
Sure, yeah.
So,
I'll come to one
so carry on.
Okay. Still a knock, heiliger knock. All is saved, eyes unbucked. Lord, hast thou a
Amazing. Thank you very much, Leslie. Now, if that
Happy
doesn't...
Christmas.
Thank you very much. Happy Christmas to you. If that doesn't get people into the Christmas spirit, what will? I wasn't intending to take calls from people singing in the first hour. I was going to leave that to the last hour. But it's a tradition now, isn't it? We've done it 2 years in a row, so it has to be a tradition that endures. Keep your calls coming, and we are hopefully going to hear from the new Archbishop of Canterbury in this hour. It's her first Christmas address in Canterbury Cathedral. So I want to ask you, have you been to church this morning? What does the Christmas message mean to you? And how many of us who celebrate Christmas truly understand the meaning of Christmas and the whole story of the Nativity?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, the King has been joined by other members of the royal family for their traditional Christmas day at Sandringham. Thousands have been gathering at the Norfolk estate this morning to greet them ahead of their Christmas Day church service.
The good thing is you can get a lot closer to them as well. If you go to the events in London, they're all a lot further away.
Well, I speak to them all every year about something or other. It's Charlotte, is my, because I've loved watching, and she's now becoming more vocal.
Hopefully me to meet Prince William today, and Catherine, and the children.
King Charles will deliver his Christmas message from Westminster Abbey later, his second Christmas Day speech outside of a royal residence. You'll be able to hear the full address here at 3 o'clock on LBC. There are weather warnings for cold and windy conditions in the southwest of England and parts of Wales. Health officials are warning of a potential impact to services, with the cold alert coming into effect at 6 o'clock this evening. The Met Office says it's highly unlikely we'll get any snow today. Forecasters in Jersey say snowflakes have been spotted there this morning, making it the island's third white Christmas on record. Hundreds of people in Southern California have been forced to leave their homes following a powerful storm. There are warnings of flash flooding and mudslides with evacuation notices in Los Angeles, San Bernardino and Orange County. Officials in the US say more showers and thunderstorms are possible today. The Health Secretary has told LBC it's a nice feeling to tell the public the government have delivered on bringing down hospital waiting lists. Speaking to Nick Ferrari at Christmas, Wes Streeting has been asked about his own future.
This time next year, will you be making your mystery shopper trips to hospitals as Health Secretary or Prime Minister?
As Health Secretary.
So Keir will still be Prime Minister?
I expect so.
And you can listen to the full interview on Nick Ferrari at Christmas from 1 o'clock. And thousands of swimmers have braved the icy waters this morning for the traditional festive swims across the UK. Some have been cancelled in the southwest this morning, though, because of those cold weather and wind alerts. LBC weather staying dry this Christmas Day with sunny spells for many of us. Cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England. Feeling very cold in the strong winds and a high of 7 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm David Dom.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
It's Christmas Day in the workhouse, and the cold bare walls are bright, with garlands of green and holly, and the place is a pleasant sight. For with clean washed hands and faces, in a long and hungry line, the paupers sit at the table, for this is the hour they dine. And the guardians and their ladies, although the wind is east, have come in their furs and wrappers to watch their charges feast, to smile and be condescending, put pudding on pauper plates, to be hosts at the workhouse banquet they've paid for with the rates. Oh, the paupers are meek and lowly with their thanky kindly mums. So long as they fill their stomachs, what matter it whence it comes? But one of the old men mutters and pushes his plate aside. Great God, he cries, but it chokes me, for this is the day she died. The guardians gazed in horror. The master's face went white. Did a pauper refuse the pudding? Could their ears believe aright? Then the ladies clutched their husbands, thinking the man would die, struck by a bolt or something, by the outraged one on high. But the pauper sat for a moment, then rose mid silence grim, for the others had ceased to chatter and trembled in every limb. He looked at the guardian's ladies, then eyeing the herds he said, I eat not the food of villains whose hands are foul and red. I could go on because there are lots more verses of that. That is what my mother used to literally scream at the top of her voice while she was peeling the spuds on Christmas morning. And it's quite a well-known poem. It's written by George R. Sims in 1903, Christmas Day in the Workhouse. And it does make you think that we don't have workhouses anymore, do we? But not everyone is celebrating Christmas in the traditional family home of mother, father, possibly grandparents, possibly aunts, uncles, children. There are many people who live in very different types of accommodation at the moment. There are many people who are celebrating today living in bed and breakfast accommodation. There are many people celebrating today on their own. And I'd really quite like to talk about that a little bit in the next hour as well. If you are somebody who is on their own, I know if I was on my own on Christmas Day, I would feel incredibly lonely. And I'm somebody who doesn't mind my own company. I'm quite happy to be alone. But I think on Christmas Day, it is possibly one of the most lonely days in the year. And that is why, in part, I really enjoy presenting on Christmas Day, because I think that radio stations all over the country, not just this one, but all others too, I think that there is a bit of a social service that's being performed, a bit of a public service broadcasting, if you like, where I know that there are many people listening now, and the radio presenter voice is the only other one they will hear during the course of the day. And that is quite a thing when you come to think about it, because we all sort of think of Christmas time as a sort of idealistic time when families get together, everybody's happy, presents are exchanged, but it's not like that for everybody, is it? And it's also not like that if you are you're not a Christian, you maybe come from another country, you're from a different religion, and you don't quite get the fuss that we in this country make about Christmas. Because I think it is different to many other European countries, actually. I think Christmas is a much bigger deal here than it is in some other European countries. But that doesn't mean to say that if you're from another religion or from another faith, that you can't actually take part in the Christmas celebrations. And I was really heartened yesterday to hear from a caller who was telling me about what it's like in Saudi Arabia at Christmas. Because you would think, well, Saudi Arabia is probably one of the most sort of hardline Islamic countries in the world. And yet, in their shopping centres, there are lots of Christmas decorations. There are Christmas lights. Everybody thinks it's really good. And that's how it should be, isn't it? So I'd quite like to hear from people from other faiths about how you have learned to celebrate Christmas, maybe in the same way that everyone else does. 0345 60 60 973. Let's take a call from Nicola and her daughter Darcy in Watford. Nicola, hi.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, and hello, Darcy.
Hello.
Hi. Now, what would you like to tell us?
Well, we woke up this morning and Darcy came into our bedroom and she had prepared a little poem or a little passage that she'd put together, which was a metaphor for our little family. There's just my husband and me and my little girl. We only have one. So, yes, and our dog. And I just thought it was a wonderful poem and I sent it in and here we are.
Well, no, you're not going to sing it, are you, Darcy? You're going to... I won't put any added pressure on you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Under a sky full of dark, in the dead of the night,
the couple slept quietly with silent delight, tucked under their covers, warm and at liberty, to dream of great dreams away from reality. For once the dog wasn't snoring and the man didn't need a wee. The woman wasn't watching anything on TV. So without the annoyance of her program, as she refused to wear headphones, or the dog's persistent poo needing, which kept him on his toes, the man thought he'd gotten a break, some peace to finally be. But really, he should have known. Nothing's ever that easy. A great light in the hall disturbed them from their sleep. "Oh, you've left the hall lights on," the woman said for the fifth time that week. But this light was something odd. It fizzed and it flickered. It twitched and it flinched. It lit up the hallway. Their tired eyes winced. "I'll go and investigate," the old man groaned, as his wife ushered him from the covers into the cold. He stumbled down the stairs, still half asleep, to figure out what annoyance was keeping him up this week. The light source was none other than a very big machine. "Well, that's something scary that I've never seen." The woman and the dog came down to see too. "Oh, William," she said, "whatever will we do?" The clanking hunk of disarray was a shocking mishmash of oil and steam and, oh, what was that crash? "This thing, it needs help," they concluded with alliance. And with their goggles and gloves, they started with triumph to pluck, to pull, to help the machine, to clean up the mess and to make it look clean. But after each night of laborious work, the machine was still leaking and rattling berserk. The couple kept persevering. They found it quite fun to tend to the machine. They knew it was dumb, but they felt a connection to this great metal mass. They knew its odd quirks. They knew its few perks. And without a manual guide, they designed their own system to lubricate the cogs and transfer it some wisdom. The machine, it still leaked and broke for no reason. It still overheated and rattled each season. But it was no longer helpless, for it knew the couple would come, no matter the time of day, no matter how far they had to run. They needn't a reason why or how, only that the machine was in trouble and they were there to be its pal. The machine, it can't run without the couple's loving care. The machine, it doesn't want to unless they are there. So when the machine sits in its spot in the hall, it no longer feels useless or broken at all. The machine feels pride. The machine feels love. The machine is now confident to conquer the above. Only because of the woman and the man and the dog.
And there you go.
Darcy, how long did it take you to write that?
Probably an hour. Not
an
too
hour.
Long.
That's it.
She's smart, Ian.
Well, that I'll tell you what, you have got a real talent there. You remind me, my sister Tracy is a brilliant poet, and she would be proud of what you've just written.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
No, that is absolutely amazing. And if my colleagues upstairs in the digital team have any sense, they will put that out on Instagram and Twitter, because it was absolutely fantastic.
They can go for
thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And what are you doing today, then?
We're going to open our presents.
We've been waiting to speak to you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I've held up the present opening, but you can carry on with that now and have a fantastic day. You see, that is what it's all about, isn't it? The ability to do that. And a line from Darcy's poem there, which I wrote down, to dream great dreams away from reality. Do you not think that Christmas Day, it's possibly the only day in the year when we can all just escape sometimes the harsh reality of our lives, in that there are, whether it's to do with work, whether it's to do with sort of social circumstances, family circumstances, we all have worries, don't we? We all have things that have gone wrong, and just for one day, maybe we can get away from them. 0345 6060 973. Gabriel is in Harlow. Hello, Gabriel.
Hello.
Hello, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I'd like to sing a Christmas song.
Which one?
Feliz Navidad.
Joe, we did this last year, and I actually, it came up on my Instagram yesterday, where there's a choir in South Africa. They were driving along in a Land Rover Discovery, and they all broke out into what you're about to sing, and it was just brilliant the way they did it. I can't remember what the name of the choir was, but they're quite famous in South Africa. Gabriel, go ahead, entertain us.
All right. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año feliz Navidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Gabriel, thank you so much.
Yeah.
You see, I have a feeling I have that song on my phone sung by Boney M, and I think you sang it better than they did. He's gone. Anyway, thank you very much for that, Gabriel. Lots more calls to come, hopefully. 0345 6060973. We're going to hear from Stephen in Edgware, who is a Jewish Father Christmas. Yep, you've heard that right. It's 11:15.
This is LBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
This Christmas,
I came to Vienna to write for the Imperial Opera.
Experience an extraordinary tale of genius, jealousy, and rivalry.
We are enemies, you and I.
A brand new TV drama starring Will Sharp.
Very fancy.
And Paul Bettany.
I knew I was going to kill Mozart.
Amadeus. All episodes available now on Sky.
The table's set, presents are wrapped, but your guests are arriving any minute and you can't remember which gift goes to who. There's no such thing as the perfect Christmas, but there are perfect moments. This year, make the most of moments that matter with Coca-Cola. Whether you're getting ready to feed the masses or chatting with your colleagues about this year's Christmas party, refresh your holiday spirit with Coca-Cola, the perfect drink for sharing in the moment. Coca-Cola, holidays are coming.
With Amex Platinum, Laura earns points on...
Can I have the soup and the salad and the tart?
And gets access to the Centurion Airport Lounge too.
Let's have a little relax, a little pudding.
And could use your points to travel for...
Las gambas con mantequilla y...
And that's because with dining, travel and lifestyle benefits, there's always more with Amex Platinum.
Representative 688.5% APR variable. Annual fee. Terms apply. 18 plus. Subject to approval.
Lost World Play Barn. Dragon Castle Children's Farm. Jumping Pillows. Wallabies. Froggies. Puff Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn. Quarter Pillar. Rowing Boats. Owl Displays. Meerkats. Honey Pot. Bears. Kids, put on your swimmers for Jungle Splash.
Yeah, let's go, Mum.
Right. Cannon Arena, lemurs, Jungle Kingdom go-karts, Wave Runner 2, Magical Woods, and cafes!
Nutcatch Adventure Park!
The sun goes on and on and on and on!
Book now at nutcatch.com!
Ian Dale. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
17 minutes past 11 on LBC. The Pope is delivering his Christmas message in St. Peter's Square from the balcony at the moment. Unfortunately, it's in Latin. So, which, given he's American, is I suppose you might say, a little bit odd, but I'm sure the crowds are enjoying it. We might get a translation of that and play you a little bit of it later. We'll also hopefully be able to get told of some of what the Archbishop of Canterbury is saying in her first address as Archbishop in Canterbury Cathedral. Bizarrely, that isn't being covered anywhere live, so we can't bring it to you live, but there we are. Now, a couple of other things. I talked a moment ago about how you spend your Christmas day and the sort of idealised version of Christmas where it's mum, dad, a couple of kids, possibly grandparents as well, possibly a bit of wider family. But there are many people who are alone this Christmas, either by choice or not. And I think particularly if you are of an older generation and you've lost your wife or husband over the course of the last 12 months and you don't have wider family, the first Christmas alone must be a very, very difficult Christmas to experience. But many people, I think, I was listening to Ian Payne earlier on the drive in and he was talking about this. And somebody phoned in who said, well, actually, I choose to be alone at Christmas. I'm alone with my thoughts. It is a slightly different day. I don't get all morose and melancholy. I do remember different times when I wasn't alone at Christmas. But that's how I choose to do it. And I really respect that. But then there are other people who will be feeling incredibly lonely today. And as I said, I think that radio provides a real sort of public service on days like this, because it's not as if radio stations can just shut down on Christmas Day, and nor should they, because I think particularly when you have live programmes. And I got a message the other day from Roger Mosey, who used to be head of 5 Live on the BBC. And he said, well done you for working over Christmas. He said, because when I first went to 5 Live, every single programme on Christmas Day was pre-recorded. And I soon put a stop to that. And presumably that was because he realised that people actually do want to hear live conversation on Christmas Day. So I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. I'm here with you until 1. Be back tomorrow. In fact, I'm doing the 10 o'clock programme, not only tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and then all of next week as well. So I hope you'll keep me company over at least some of that period. Let's go to Debbie and Jill, first time callers. Hello.
Merry Christmas, Ian.
Merry Yay. Christmas to you. You sound as if you've got the Christmas spirit already in you.
Oh, we have. It's so lovely to have you on Christmas Day, Ian.
Well, thank you.
Oh, it's lovely. You know, we listen all the time, and my daughter's here, and she's for Christmas, and husband's cooking the dinner. And I said, I've got Ian, and I've never spoke to him.
And he said, for goodness sake.
Oh, did you get my Christmas card, I hope?
I did get a lot of Christmas cards. I can't remember single one I got, but if you sent one, I'm sure I did. Thank you very much for the thought.
Lots of love, Ian, to you, your partner, and the rest of your team.
Well, my normal team aren't here today. They've actually got the day off. Corey's in Rotherham with his family. Chris is in South London with his family. I doubt whether they're listening, but if you are listening, guys, thank you for all of your work over the last year. And thank you very much indeed. Have you got anything else you want to say, Debbie?
Oh, yes. A little sing-song for you, Ian.
Oh, my goodness. I've got this feeling of trepidation, Debbie. What are we in for?
We've been practicing. It's a very short... We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Does that not get a round of applause? I'm looking through the glass here. I think that deserves a round of applause.
Aww.
Yeah, belatedly.
Aww.
A bit after the event, but we'll settle for that.
They were stunned by how good we were.
That must be it. Debbie and Jill, have a great day. Thank you very much indeed. Right, let's take a couple of texts before we move on to another call. This is from Sybil. Happy Christmas to you and the team at LBC, Ian. I'm sending lots of love to Constance in Woking. What a lovely lady. 101, she's marvellous. She delivered her greetings without an itch. Lots of people who are much younger than her wouldn't be able to deliver such messages with such confidence. May Constance live to see many more Christmases. I'm looking forward to hearing from her next Christmas. That's Sybil in Sutton. Well, as are we all. Let's go to, here's another one from Mark. This is from I brought up Sybil again there. I pressed the wrong button. You'd think I'd be used to doing this now, wouldn't you? No, I've done it again. Anyway, let's go to a call while I sort myself out. Ikra is in Hackney and is a first-time caller. Ikra, hi.
Hi, Ian. I'm really nervous. I've never been on live radio before.
And what's prompted you to ring in?
I was just saying that I'm a Muslim, so I don't celebrate Christmas like how everyone else might be celebrating Christmas. But we always get together as a family anyway. We have a little bit of a roast. It's like the one day that we all have off, so we just take that as an opportunity to really get together.
Yep.
My sister comes down from Birmingham with her husband, and we just, like, eat food and we play games. We also do like a little annual family quiz that we do every year, and the results come out on Christmas, so that's really good fun. But yeah, I'm a Muslim, but I do really like Christmas time, just, you know, the vibes and stuff. So yeah.
What games do you play?
So we usually like play Articulate, but we really like the quiz. So we like make the quiz beforehand, and we like do we get everyone to fill it out like 2 weeks before, and then we show the results. And I think that's our favourite thing to do, just like a little quiz.
Go on, give me some example questions that you ask.
Well, this year, some of them can be quite brutal, to be honest. a little anonymous.
Families can be brutal, can't they?
Yeah. Some of them are quite brutal, so we usually ask, like, who's the nicer questions, like, who's the most patient, or who, I don't know, for example, this year we did who's the biggest doormat, for example.
The biggest doormat?
So they are quite brutal, so when the results do come out, we'll see who's whose feelings are going to get hurt with that question.
I'll tell you what, have you ever played the board game Scruples?
No.
I don't know if it's still around, but certainly when I was at university, we used to play this. And it's essentially, it's all about ethics and sort of what things that you ought to do and maybe you shouldn't do. And it is quite a brutal game, particularly if people are honest the way they play it. And sort of, I can't really think of examples, but it's sort of things like, if you were having an affair, how would you reveal it to your partner in the end? Stuff like that, and it's quite something. I'm sure it still exists.
That really sounds fun, and maybe we should play that one next time.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. Ikra, thank you very much, and have a great day. Mark says, happy Christmas, Ian. I'm listening from Athens, enjoying the festivities with my partner's family and some wonderfully hospitable Greek friends. No turkey or stuffing in sight, but plenty of excellent food. A main difference I learned is that after a busy night of deliveries, Santa takes a break before delivering it to Greece on New Year's Eve, which is when Greek children expect him to arrive. That was news too for my partner's niece and nephew when I showed them Santa's online tracker last night while sharing the link with my grandchildren back in England. They were entirely content with my explanation that the world is a very big place and it's only fair to give the reindeer a rest. You mentioned snow in the early 1970s. For me, it was 1969, the last White Christmas, and I remember it mainly because I received a spacesuit and helmet, which felt entirely appropriate. Well, you would have done in 1969 because that was the year that Neil Armstrong was the first man to land on the moon. I remember watching that. Was it in July 1969 when I would have been, well, my birthday's on the 15th, so I'd have either been 6 or 7. And I remember my dad getting me out of bed at 10 o'clock at night and going downstairs to watch this on our black and white television. And even though I was very, very young, I could instantly recognise the importance and significance of this. And you're right, we all went space mad in those days. Everyone wanted a bit of space. And I mean, it seems now, I mean, when was the last time man landed on the moon? I think there are plans for that to happen again sort of in the next few years. But it's really odd. The space race of the 60s and 70s sort of just petered out, didn't it? Well, that's obviously an entirely different subject. But this whole thing about when people from the Orthodox community celebrate Christmas, of course, in Ukraine, it used to be 6th of January. It was the 7th of January that Christmas was celebrated, but they've actually changed it now to December the 25th. But I'm not sure everyone's got the message in Ukraine on that. Thank you very much, Mark, for your message. 0345 6060 973. Deborah in Croydon has rung in. Now, Deborah, I gather, is CEO of the Windrush Generation Legacy Association. Deborah, hi. What would you like to say?
Hi, Ian. Forgive me, I'm extremely croaky at the moment.
Well, I'm heading that way, so I have sympathy.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm a constant listener to the show, and actually today I'd just like to wish all of the listeners, all the LBC listeners and yourself, a wonderful Christmas, and a special Merry Christmas to Constance, who actually was part of the reason what made me call in today. She reminds me of so many of our elder members, many of them who will be spending Christmas today on their own, their families far afield. And, you know, our charity does a lot of work in the community with the elders. In actual fact, I mentioned to your team that we gave our charity members a wonderful Christmas party on Monday, hence the reason why I'm probably so croaky now. we had 90 of them who came to our unit in Croydon, which is in the Whitgift Centre in Croydon, and we gave them a three-course meal. We sang Christmas carols, and for those of them who could dance, they got up and had a disco. And those who couldn't, they stayed in their seats and rocked. And it was just wonderful to be able to do that. I'm talking so much at you, Ian, but the charity survives on the donations of the wonderful people of the UK. And we basically do so many different things in the community. We have elders clubs, we do a food bank. We're currently looking, and I wonder if anybody's listening today who might be able to help the charity. We are looking for a Notting Hill Carnival sponsor. And so it would be absolutely wonderful if somebody could get in touch with us. We have been instrumental in doing some wonderful things in relation to the Windrush generation and young people in Carnival. And we'd love to continue that. And we're looking, well, we're going to continue it, but we're looking for a great sponsor to help us this year to be able to bring children and more elders to Carnival.
And you have a website, presumably, where people can get in touch with you?
Yes, we do. It is the Windrush Generation Legacy Association. And also, if they follow us, those of you who are more on social media, hashtag the Windrush GLA.
Well, if there's anyone out there and they wish to sponsor you, I'm sure they'll get in touch. I mean, the way you describe it, I mean, you are symbolic, I think, of many, many, many associations, charities all over the country who make Christmas real for so many people. And clearly, I can tell from the way you've described it, Deborah, you get a lot of satisfaction out of that.
Oh, absolutely. I actually work a full-time job, and I do the charity almost as a second full-time job. But I would do nothing else. I would change nothing. It brings me great satisfaction to be making a difference to the lives that we touch. And, you know, it's not just the Windrush generation community as you would imagine. Actually, it's the extended community as well. So one of the things I always say is, you know, our charity celebrates the rich legacy of the Windrush generation. And actually, that's what we do. We celebrate the work that the Windrush generation have done on the footprint of the UK. I'm just privileged to be able to be doing that work.
Well, we're privileged to have heard from you today, Deborah. Have a very happy Christmas. Thank you very much indeed for phoning in. That's Deborah in Croydon. She's Chief Executive of the Windrush Generation Legacy Association. In a moment, I'm going to ask you a different question. What do you make of Christmas television nowadays? I've got the Christmas schedules of BBC One, BBC Two, ITV, Channel 4 and Channel 5. And I can honestly say there's not a single programme on these schedules that I want to watch. So, I mean, I just cannot understand how they can deliver such utter rubbish. Who wants to... this is from ITV's schedule tonight. 8.15 on Christmas Day evening. 8.15, Bullseye Christmas Special. 0345 6060 973. It's 11:32. News headlines with David Dom.
Members of the royal family have arrived for the traditional Christmas Day church service in Sandringham. The King and Queen led the walk past a crowd of well-wishers who have been gathering at the Norfolk estate. Pope Leo is delivering his first Christmas Day blessing in St Peter's Square. Thousands of people attended his Christmas Eve Mass last night, where he led prayers for peace. And a cold weather alert will come into effect for parts of southwest England later. A separate wind warning is in place for the parts of the southwest and Wales. LBC weather staying dry this Christmas Day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and the northeast of England, feeling very cold in the strong winds, with a high of 7 degrees.
This is LBC.
That feeling when mum puts you in charge of making a side dish, but the recipe that looked so easy online ends up burning on your watch. There's no such thing as the perfect Christmas, but there are perfect moments. This year, make the most of moments that matter with Coca-Cola. Whether you're getting ready to feed the masses or chatting with your colleagues about this year's Christmas party, refresh your holiday spirit with Coca-Cola, the perfect drink for sharing in the moment. Coca-Cola, holidays are coming.
Hi, I'm Andrew from New Zealand and Australia travel specialist, Travel Essence. For a tailor-made holiday unlike any other, find your way to us. Our local knowledge saves you time and money, and our experience is your guarantee of quality. We are also members of ABTA and ATOL. Amazing journeys down under start at travelessence.co.uk.
Same.
Ho, ho, ho!
Same.
3, 2, 1, hey!
Same.
Whoa, thanks.
Same.
What does Santa call his dog?
Same. Same.
One word. 3 syllables.
Same. Same.
Sorry, it's a bit dry.
New plates.
Ooh.
Treat your table to something different this Christmas. Visit your local IKEA now. IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Rockies, Duck Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quarter Pillar, Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot, Bears. Kids, put on your swimmers for Jungle Splash.
Yeah, let's go, Mum.
Right. Cannon Arena, Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom, Go-Karts, Wave Runner 2, Magical Wood and Cafe.
Not Catch Adventure Park.
The sun goes on and on and on and on.
Book now at notcatch.com.
This is LBC with Ian Dale. Call 0345 6060973.
11:35, Judy says, Happy Christmas, Ian and team. See, everybody's saying Happy Christmas. That person who texted in earlier, I don't know why you have a problem with saying Happy Christmas. Anyway, please may I give a shout out and Christmas thanks to all the paramedics that are working today, along with all their NHS colleagues, long-time listener Judy. Judy, and I should have done that earlier in the programme, because I do want to talk a little bit about people who work on Christmas Day. We did this on my afternoon show yesterday, because 1 million people are working today. And that's a hell of a lot of people in all sorts of different areas, not just in the emergency services, not just in the NHS, not just in His Majesty's prison service, but also in hospitality. Because I think more and more people are having their Christmas lunch in hotels, in restaurants, costing an arm and a leg, it has to be said. And I think that is a phenomenon that is increasing year on year as more and more people decide that they don't want to cook. So yeah, absolutely. Let's have a shout out to everyone who's working today. I imagine if you are working, you're probably not listening. But if you are able to listen, at work, give me a call and tell me what you're up to today. Why are you working? Are you working voluntarily? Because I think some people, it's just, they're not given a choice in whether they work on Christmas Day, and it's sort of also Buggins' turn. And I think there's, part of the reason why I'm working today is because I think I don't have children, obviously, and I like to think that all of the presenters on this station who do have children, well, they should be able to spend Christmas Day with their children. So that's part of the reason why I'm very happy to work, and I really enjoyed it last year, so why not? But I don't pretend that doing this job is as difficult as, say, if you're working in A&E on Christmas Day. I wonder if A&E on Christmas Day is busier than a normal day or not as busy. I've got no idea. 0345 6060 973. Let's go to Barry in Blackpool. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Ian. Merry Christmas, mate.
And to you.
Well, to be honest with you, I've been dreading this Christmas.
Why?
My wife and I split up earlier this year. And it's the first one on my own without my children. And it's not easy. I mean, my thoughts are with them today. And I decided to come away to Blackpool just to a hotel so that I wasn't on my own fully. And, you know, this morning I went for a long walk just to go to a church service to take me back to childhood because I needed company. And, and LBC is amazing today to have live presenters on where you feel you're with people. It's so special. And I just thank you and your team and all the presenters for what they're doing today.
Well, Barry, that is a very kind thing for you to say. I really feel for you because I think anybody that's in your position who, and I'm not going to ask you all the whys and wherefores of the split, but it's obviously been very painful for you. You obviously would rather be with your children today for whatever reason you can't be. And that is kind of why we do what we do, to try and help people in your position through a day that inevitably is going to provide some emotional challenges.
Yeah, and, you know, I often think of people who are on their own, those who are elderly, and this year is different because I've never thought about people who haven't been with their kids before. And it is difficult, Ian, and, you know, people struggle in all sorts of areas, and I just want to remind people that if they are struggling today, there is the Samaritans, 116-123.
Yeah.
They are there for people if they really do struggle today.
Now, let me introduce a little bit of levity into this conversation, Barry, because we've been understandably very serious so far. Why Blackpool?
Do you know something, Ian? It was the cheapest place I could find. Because Christmas is so expensive.
It's a good reason.
Honestly, Christmas is so expensive. And I went back to university this year, you know, at the age of 46. So money's not that, you know, expansive. So I thought, okay, Blackpool will do. And actually, the amount of people walking along the beach today is just lovely. And they're all stopping and wishing you a happy Christmas.
Oh, well, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a sense of community, actually, here, which I never thought there would be in a big town such as this.
Well, I guess if you're walking along the beach in Blackpool, that'll blow a few cobwebs away, won't it?
But actually, and believe it or not, it's nice on the south today. We've got sunshine, it's bright blue sky, and there's a little bit of wind, but not much at all.
Isn't it odd, though, that, and I think this is possibly more the case in the south of England than the north, that if you walk along a street, you see a lot of people. Nobody ever talks to other people. I mean, and if they do, people think, "Well, what's your agenda? Why are you talking to me?" Whereas today is I think a day when it's not like that. And maybe in the north of England, I mean, the north has a reputation, I think, for people being just a bit more friendly and less standoffish than certainly in London. But I think that's fantastic to hear that people did actually sort of approach you and talk to you today. I'm not sure you'd have been expecting that.
I wasn't, Ian, but can I just pick you up on something? There's not a north-south divide in this. I mean, I lived in the south in Wiltshire for many years, and they're just as nice in the south as they are in the north, but it's not as nice as the Scots.
Well, as a quarter Scot, I can buy into that, so... No, I mean, obviously, look, it's a gross generalisation, and there are lovely people in London, there are lovely people in the South, but I think the reputation is that the North tends to be... People are a little bit more open, maybe, but look, I get that's a generalisation. Are you actually able to speak to your kids today, Barry?
They've texted this morning, but I don't want to encroach on their day because, you know, Christmas is for the kids, and I want them to enjoy their day. And hopefully I'll catch up with them tomorrow.
Well,
you know,
I hope you'll be able to. I can hear what you're going through. Martin says, I feel for Barry. I'm in the same position this year. Stay positive, Barry, and thanks for the show, Ian. You're keeping me company whilst I cook the lunch. Well, Barry, thank you very much indeed for your call. You see, Barry, I think, is a great example of somebody who wasn't expecting to spend Christmas on his own at the beginning of the year, but circumstances dictate that he is spending Christmas on his own. He's clearly struggling with it a bit, but the kindness of strangers is something that he's experienced on the seafront at Blackpool, and I think maybe, I mean, people who are on their own, maybe take a little lesson from Barry there. He went out and actually talked to people, and I think he feels a lot better because of it, and why not? Let's go to Daniel in Milton Keynes. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Ian. Just want to say I've been driving from London to Milton Keynes with my girlfriend to spend time with family in Milton Keynes, and we've absolutely loved listening to this Christmas
show. Oh, you're very kind.
It's been the most wholesome, people calling in to sing songs. Thank you so much to Barry for sharing that story, and it's just been really, really unexpected boost to this Christmas.
Well, that's a really lovely thing to say, because as you can imagine, this is not, how can I put this gently? It's not in my comfort zone in terms of the kind of programs that I normally do. I said to someone the other day, I said, I really enjoyed Last Christmas. It was sort of LBC's version of Steve Wright in the Afternoon. And I sort of feel this has been a little bit the same. And Steve Wright was one of my absolute broadcasting heroes. And, I think had he still been alive, he used to phone me, he did it on a couple of occasions. Given that I didn't really know him, he phoned me a couple of times to say, I was listening to your programme tonight and I really enjoyed it and I just wanted to tell you that. And I thought, what a lovely thing to do. And if I've learned anything from Steve Wright, it is, I suppose, how to sort of have a bit of light and shade. Because normally, as you'll know, my programmes tend to concentrate on the news, which inevitably is quite depressing sometimes. And I try and add a little bit of humour and lightness into it. And of course, on Christmas Day, you don't want to have any sort of politics intervening, do you?
Yeah, it's a different thing. Is now a good time to say that I don't know who Steve Wright is?
Oh, Daniel. Oh, no. How old are you?
35. Related to Ian Wright?
You see, if Steve is listening in heaven, he will find that hilarious. Steve Wright, when I was in my late teens, he used to be one of the main presenters on Radio 1. Uh-huh. And he introduced sort of zoo radio, in a sense. He had this, what he called his posse in the studio, and he invented all these different characters. He had Damien the social worker, who used the word community a lot. He had Ruth from Belfast. He had Mr. Angry from Purley, who every time he did his little shtick on the radio would say, I'm so angry I could put the phone down, and then he put the phone down. Look him up on YouTube. And okay. You'll do yourself a huge favour, because he's one of the most entertaining people on radio. And he died, was it last year or the year before? And it was a real shock to everyone who knew him. And he was still broadcasting on Radio 2 at the time. And just an absolutely lovely guy and a real radio legend.
Well, we'll treat ourselves to a Steve Wright-a-thon.
I think you should.
Yeah. I actually called to say, about my experience as a Jewish person celebrating Christmas the first time, but now I feel like I've taken up all the time.
No, carry on.
I celebrated first Christmas by going to Midnight Mass yesterday, celebrating with my girlfriend, and we said, why don't we go to church? It was the first time really going to a service like that. I'm Jewish, I'm practicing, I go to synagogue, I do lots of Jewish stuff, I'm very connected to it. But I love Christmas. Like, in my family, my mum really enjoys Christmas carols, and we enjoy taking part in the festivities, even if we don't celebrate it from a religious point of view. But even last night, getting closer to some of the ritual around it in our local Anglican church, we learned what an Anglican church is. It's the Archbishop of Canterbury talking soon, so, you know, that's relevant. And it's just been really lovely to get a bit closer to something that is very much in the ether, but sort of seeing it firsthand for the first time and maybe connecting it a bit to the symbols and the rituals and the community that I'm more familiar with.
Well, I don't know if you've arrived in Milton Keynes yet, but stay on the line, because between now and the end of the programme, we are going to hear from the Jewish Santa.
Oh, well, I'll stay on the line to Jewish Santa, yeah.
I think you should. Daniel, great call. Thank you very much indeed. Right, keep your calls coming. We will take more of them in just a few moments' time. 0345 6060 973. And in a moment, I'm going to treat you to my views on the Christmas TV schedules. Brace yourselves. It's 11:48.
I'm Sheila Fogarty. Thank you for your calls throughout the year on LBC.
And I am mixed race. I was heavily considering a future in the armed forces. I had to really reconsider how I felt towards dying for a country that seemed like it didn't really want me in it.
Do you find it acceptable for all migrants and asylum seekers to be regarded with suspicion as predators?
Yes.
I'll be back next week taking your calls on LBC.
Merry Christmas, my love.
Merry Christmas, Mum.
Merry Christmas, Nanny.
Happy New Year!
From the UK's first mobile phone call to the first text, we've been connecting you at Christmas since 1984 on Vodafone, the nation's network. The Nation's Network, Vodafone UK, supporting the nation since 1984. Learn more at vodafone.co.uk/TNN.
Do you have a Co-op card or membership number? In July, Co-op CEO confirmed that the personal data of all 6.5 million members was accessed in a major cyber attack. If you're a member, your information may have been exposed, and you could be entitled to compensation through a group action claim. Check your eligibility today at jointheclaim.com. It's quick, secure, and easy to do online at jointheclaim.com.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the art and design industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Keo, an art and design student in year 12.
As an art student, we get the chance to work on our own pieces, either in the studio or using the digital software. Some of my work has also been shown in galleries, and last week I got the chance to attend a design agency to learn more about my future career.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat. And she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
This is LBC. Message Ian Dale on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060 973.
11:51. Shall we play a bit of the Pope? Because he's been speaking, delivering his Christmas message in St. Peter's Square in Rome. This is dubbed, obviously, because he's not speaking in English. And he's called for peace in Ukraine.
May the clamour of weapons cease, and may the parties involved, with the support and commitment of the international community, find the courage to engage in sincere, direct and respectful dialogue.
Well, that was short and sweet, wasn't it? We'll try and get a bit from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Sarah Mullally. It's her first sermon as Archbishop at Christmas in Canterbury Cathedral. Quite an occasion, that always is. So we'll try and bring you some of that before the end of the programme. Now, let me give you some information about the TV schedules this evening. I wouldn't normally do this, because obviously I'd rather you were listening to LBC Radio this evening rather than watching television. And judging by the schedules, I think you probably will be. Because, I mean, they are dire. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Christmas television, back in the day, and I know when you get to my age, everything was always much better in the past, but it truly was in terms of television. I mean, is it any wonder now that people are watching Netflix and Amazon Prime and Disney Plus and Apple TV? Well, it's because, in part, there's nothing on terrestrial television that anybody would want to watch. BBC One tonight, Michael McIntyre's The Wheel, one of the most awful game shows ever invented on television. EastEnders Part 1 at 7.45. Goodness me, there's a Part 2 at 9.45. Well, that's enough to depress the hell out of anyone, isn't it? One of my most hated programmes, Call the Midwife, at 8.15. I got into trouble with that. I interviewed Miranda Hart many years ago, and I had the temerity to tell her that I didn't like Call the Midwife. And I asked her at the end of the interview, I said, so what's next for you, Miranda? I'm going to be doing a new series of that series you don't like, Ian. The interview did not go well. Then a Mandaland Christmas special. I've got no idea. What's a Mandaland? Anybody got any idea on that? I've never heard of it. Then EastEnders Part 2. And then my most hated sitcom. How it calls itself a comedy, I do not know. Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas Special at 10.15. Well, if there's one programme to avoid on television, it is Mrs. Brown's Boys. It is not funny. It doesn't even raise a titter, let alone a laugh. And then you got a repeat of Absolutely Fabulous. Well, that is worth watching. And then When Harry Met Sally. I mean, a film for, what, 1988 or something? Could they not do better than that? Now, BBC Two, to be fair, is a bit better. You've got Dad's Army at the BBC at 5. Dad's Army Christmas Special. Keeping Up Appearances Christmas Special. Morecambe and Wise, The Lost Tapes. Morecambe and Wise Show Christmas Special 1975. And then Jaws. So not a single original programme there. Now, ITV. Emmerdale. Coronation Street. How original. Then Bullseye Christmas Special at 8.15. Why? Why would anyone want to watch Bullseye Christmas Special at 8.15 on Christmas Day? And then at 9.15, the 1% Club Christmas Special. Again, pointless programme. 10.15, Romesh Ranganathan's Parents' Evening Christmas Special. Well, of course, Romesh Ranganathan would have to be on somewhere because he's on virtually everywhere, isn't he? So that's the three main channels. Then you've got Channel 4, 5.20, The Alternative Christmas Message with Jimmy Kimmel, who most people in this country have never heard of. 7.40, The Great Christmas Bake Off. How fantastic. And then at 9 o'clock, Gogglebox, Best of 2025. Why Best of 2025? Why not have an original one that people might want to watch? Because I do like that programme. Channel 5, Armageddon, a 1998 film, 6.15. Yeah, I probably would watch that, like a bit of Bruce Willis. Then at 9.15, Only Fools and Horses, Greatest Christmas Moments, repeat. Billy Connolly, 30 Greatest Moments, repeat. It's all repeats, isn't it? I mean, that is has to be one of the worst Christmas TV schedules ever. Rant over. What do you think, though? I mean, do you miss the days when you'd have the Dick Emery Christmas special, you'd have the Mike Yarwood Christmas special, you'd have the Two Ronnies Christmas special? The days when they actually seem to want you to watch Christmas television. Because I won't be watching any of those tonight. I should be watching something on Netflix or Amazon Prime, I have to say. Or possibly listening to whichever of my colleagues... In fact, Amina, would you like to get me the schedule for LBC later on so you can tell the good ladies and gentlemen who's presenting on LBC later? Richard is in Cricklewood. Hello, Richard.
Hello there. How are you?
Good, thank you. What would you like to say?
Well, I called just to let you know about work, what I'm doing work-wise.
Yeah.
You said... Yeah, so I work on the railway. I drive a 17-seater minibus for rail companies, and we come to work sites. And normally I'm very, very busy Christmas, running men around from location to location. And I'm in this huge car park in Cricklewood. And so far today, I've not had a single contact with anybody. So I'm listening. Yeah, I know. So I was listening to you on the radio, and I heard some fabulous people call in. So I thought I'd just let you know. Normal for me to work Christmas. I normally work all the way through, have done for years. This year, I've only had two shifts over Christmas, and this one is a very, very quiet one. So just thought I'd call in, let you know there are a lot of us out there, particularly on the railway, working today and over Christmas.
Yeah, because you see, everybody thinks, well, trains aren't running, so nobody works on the railway over Christmas.
Yeah.
But that could not be more wrong, could it?
That could not be more wrong. And it's one of the times when any major work, large works are normally carried out, because the way the schedule works is, of course, at Christmas, the amount of traffic, non-commuter traffic, is, you know, down 90-95%. So the logic is that all the money really is made on the railway from commuter money.
Yeah.
So to get the rail operators to agree to get the work done, which is obviously it'll be mandatory work. It'll all be compulsory work that has to be done. So they'll cram it in over Christmas, and then you get these what they call long blockades. And they'll block a line off for, let's say, could be minimum five days, could be up to 10 or 11 days, a complete blockage. But I'm at this job. Normally, I wouldn't have a minute to call you. It would be nonstop. But on this job, that's not the case.
Well, I'm glad you have, because you said at the beginning that you drive a 17-seater minibus.
Yeah,
which
I do.
Would be my definition of hell, because I would feel such a responsibility for the safety of all of those people. And, I mean, minibuses aren't... I mean, like big coaches, they're quite robust, but I always think minibuses look a little bit flimsy. And
It's interesting. So, I mean, I think you get used to it. Obviously, you're trained to drive around, and then when it gets tricky, actually, in London, it's just what you got to watch the traffic to be mindful of speed limits. But when it gets really interesting is when you go out to the middle of the countryside at night with 16, 17 men who've just finished a shift, and you're on a single lane. It could be in the wintertime, you've got soft verges. And some of the places you have to go, you've really got to have wits about you. So that's the thing about this job. And of course, the hours are just are really normally incredible. Actually, 12-hour shifts. Like a Christmas shift, I'll do today, which will be a 12-hour day shift, and tomorrow I'll do 12. But that could be extended to 4 or 5 continuous 12-hour shifts. So you could end up doing 60 hours in. You know, 60, well, 72 hours.
I hope you do actually manage to talk to someone other than me during the course of the day.
Yes, normally. but not nothing today. Literally, I've been sat here and I can't go anywhere because if they want you, they want you on demand. You know, you're on demand. You can't just pop off and go and get a coffee. You are here and that's it. If they contact you, you've got to be ready to go wherever they want you to go.
Well, I suppose you can rest on your laurels in the knowledge that you've spoken to several hundred thousand people today, even if they haven't been right in front of your face. Richard, happy Christmas. Thank you very much indeed. Somebody says here, call yourself gay and you don't love Amandaland. And this one has Joanna Lumley and Jennifer Saunders. Well, I might check that one out, though. I've never heard of it. I mean, is this a really famous programme that has just somehow escaped my notice? Right, your views on Christmas TV coming up in the next hour. I want to hear your best or worst Christmas memories. What do you do with your animals at Christmas? As I said earlier, we used to provide them with a plate of turkey at the dinner table, which I know, if you're not a dog lover, you'll think that's disgusting. But animals have a right to enjoy Christmas as well, don't they? As soon as I say that, I'm thinking people just thinking, no, had enough of that one.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midday, members of the royal family have been at the traditional Christmas Day church service in Sandringham. The King and Queen have led the walk past a crowd of well-wishers who have today been gathering at the Norfolk estate. King Charles will deliver this year's Christmas message from Westminster Abbey. Royal commentator Jack Royston has told LBC it's a significant venue in royal life.
Charles is head of the Church of England, ceremonial head of the Church of England. His Christianity is hugely important to him, and this is the centre, really, of the Church of England and Britain. I think this year's speech will probably strike a more upbeat note than some recent speeches have done.
And you'll be able to hear the full address here on LBC at 3 o'clock. Warnings for cold and windy weather are set to come into force this Christmas Day. The UK Health Security Agency has issued a yellow alert for cold weather from 6 o'clock this evening from the southwest of England. The Met Office have also issued separate warnings for wind in the southwest and Wales. The Pope has called on Ukraine and Russia to hold face-to-face talks to end the war.
May the clamour of weapons cease, and may the parties involved, with the support and commitment of the international community, find the courage to engage in sincere, direct and respectful dialogue.
Pope Leo has been delivering his first Christmas Day message in St. Peter's Square. Officials in Russia are looking at the latest American-backed proposal to end the war with Ukraine. They include plans, rather, to demilitarise eastern parts of the country. Australia's Prime Minister has announced plans for a National Bravery Award following the anti-Semitic Bondi Beach terror attack. Civilians and first responders at the scene of the shootings that killed 15 people will be recognised. And snow has been spotted in Jersey this morning, according to the island's meteorological department. That makes it the third official white Christmas there since records began. LBC weather staying dry this Christmas day with sunny spells this afternoon. Cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and northeast England. Feeling very cold in the strong winds with highs of 7 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm David Dom.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles. With you.
Life feels better with a smile. Fanning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling and the whole world smiles with you.
FanningDental.co.uk.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
It's 3 minutes past midday on LBC. Welcome to the programme if you've just joined. It's Ian Dale here with you until one, when Nick Ferrari will be on air with his Christmas special. David says, Ian, after my ex-wife walked out in the February due to a bout of my depression, I decided to spend that Christmas all alone. I was 25. I actually That doesn't make sense. I'm actually spending it alone. It was really enjoyable. I could do what I wanted when I wanted. I think my parents suffered the most. I would happily spend Christmas Day alone again. I think sometimes Christmas Day can be a little bit trying for people if they maybe don't necessarily hit it off with all family members, particularly if you marry into a family and they've got all their Christmas traditions and rituals that you just don't really understand, you think are a bit weird, and you spend the whole day thinking that you're a little bit of an outsider. I think that must be quite difficult. So very happy to talk about different Christmas rituals and traditions that people have over the next hour, but also I want to hear from more people who are working today and your experience of working on Christmas Day. We had a caller yesterday who said he'd spent 37 of the last 41 Christmases working, and I think that will be quite a normal experience for many, many people if you work in the health service, the prison service. I mean, these things do not cease to run over Christmas. I mean, prisoners have to be there. Well, they're still locked up in prison. They have to be catered for. The security has to be implemented. And similarly in the health service, A&E departments don't cease to function on Christmas Day. And in fact, I'd really like to hear from somebody who works in A&E. Does it get busier on Christmas Day, or is it the opposite, that it becomes a lot quieter? 0345 60 60 973. What about doing good deeds at Christmas? Helping elderly neighbours, taking food round to people who are on their own, or just knocking on your neighbour's door just so they do actually see a human face during Christmas Day? I think that's a really important thing to do. Janice is a first-time caller in Weybridge. Hello, Janice.
Oh, good morning. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
Good to talk to you.
Hi, what would you like to say?
I'd just like to say thank you very much for your show this morning. I am a regular LBC listener, but it's been really lovely listening to people's various Christmases, especially Constance in Woking, which I thought was lovely. And your views on the TV schedules, yes, I agree, they are dire, but it's a good chance to catch up on all those wonderful old films that iPlayer put on every year, such as the wonderful Michael Caine. They've got the Ibcrest file on. I've watched Funeral in Berlin last night. And there's Dr. Zhivago, which is another favourite. So there's always something to watch. And Amanda Land, if you've never watched it, is amazing. It's really, really
fun. Well, I probably won't watch it tonight because we've got visitors. But I will give that a try because, I don't know, I think we've kind of lost the art of sitcoms in this country and that they just don't make you laugh anymore.
No, this resonates with a lot of people who've got children and the sort of the yummy mummies and all the things that go on at school and all the politics of the playground. And it is very funny. And the lead in it, Amanda, she's an incredible actress, and her interaction with Joanna Lumley is just priceless.
Well, so
if you haven't seen anything with
Joanna Lumley, I sat next to Joanna Lumley once at the theatre. We went to see, I didn't go to see it with her. I just happened to sit next to her. We were watching Giles Brandreth in a show called Zip. And he was dressed up in stockings, which I must admit wasn't the thing that I was most looking forward to watching in the thing. But she was sitting next to me, and do you know what? I didn't pluck up the courage to say anything to her.
She's just brilliant. If you watch the original Motherland series, and then watch Amandaland after that, and it will make sort of more sense.
Right.
I forgot the name of the actress who plays Amanda, but she is just brilliant. So I'm looking forward to that tonight. Even though I don't get to watch it live, I would definitely catch it on catch up. So thank you for a wonderful programme this morning. I'm just waiting for my family to arrive. I'd say happy Christmas to everybody listening.
Well, thank you very much, Janice, and happy Christmas to you. And I'm sure that your family are going to be in for a treat with whatever you've cooked up for them for lunch. Right, let's go to Seamus in Wallington. Hello, Seamus.
Hello, Ian. I just wanted to... I phoned in just to say to your people thank you very much for what you're doing, and they said I could have a chance to say hello to you, which is a big thing for me because you're one of my favourites on LBC.
Well, so, hello, and thank you.
I was feeling a little bit low and a little bit down this morning. I took my daughter to the airport yesterday, and she's travelling there for 6 months, and I already miss her, and I'm living in this big house on my own, and all my kids are grown up and gone on, and feeling a bit sorry and this, that and the other, which is a bit stupid, I know, but anyway.
It's not it's not stupid. It's completely natural. Why wouldn't you miss your daughter if she's gone away for 6 months? All I would say is, why on earth did she go on Christmas Eve? Couldn't she have delayed it a couple of days?
She's going out to Bangkok, and she's meeting up with my youngest boy who lives in New Zealand, and... But anyway, I just love what you're doing, and can you please keep doing more of it? And I wish you happiness with 26 and good health. God bless.
Well, you are very, very kind, Seamus, and I really do appreciate that. And look, I can't read out all of the messages that are coming in here because it would be incredibly self-serving if I did. But thank you to every single one of you, not just for saying that you're enjoying this show, but saying thank you to me for all the programmes I've done during the year. It makes such a difference because there are quite a lot of people who send nasty things through on messages. There was one a moment ago, but I'm not going to read it out. It really does mean a lot to all of us who present on LBC to get the feedback that you do actually, most of you, enjoy what we do. And there was somebody, I can't find it now, somebody is saying, like, really slagging me off, saying how awful I am and all the rest of it. You think, well, why are you listening to me if you find me so awful? I've never quite understood that. But there we go. Let's go to Tom, who is in Harrow. Hello, Tom. It's not Tom. It's Tammy. Tammy in Harrow. Hello, Tammy.
Hi. Hi. Tammy, not Tammy, but it's fine. Hi.
We got there in the end.
Hi, Ian. I'm joining the other listeners that you're doing an amazing thing, and you're... Sorry, I'm very, very nervous. And I'm sorry, not good for you, but I'm hoping the people that know me will not listen to you. Sorry, yeah. Your producer is lovely. She's absolutely lovely. I do listen to the show when I can during the year, and I love your show when there are other, you know, like other presenters. But LBC is an amazing, in my view, an amazing station. I just wanted to say, I was married 20 years. I'm not Christian. I wasn't born Christian. But my husband was born Christian. He doesn't practice, but loved Christmas and, you know, all the presents and tree and everything. And I always, you know, I embraced it and I loved it. I loved the carols. I loved everything that goes with it. Although, like I said, he's not religious. But he decided to break the marriage, and 5 years I'm on my own, 5-6 years. It was extremely difficult in the beginning, really, really difficult. I remember the first Christmas day, I just sat and cried all day long. And actually, I was invited, but I only went in the evening, and it was lovely when I'm so glad I went the first Christmas day that I was on my own. Other two, I went away with a Christian group, funny. They were skiing. I didn't know to ski, but just not to be in the country. I would go away to my country this year, but I was twice and I couldn't go. I was twice this year and I couldn't go again. So I just wanted to say it does get better. All the people, you had a lovely listener yesterday. She had a fiance that killed himself and she has a dog. And she, like she said, it gets better and better. I would have volunteered this year. It didn't happen because I was very busy with other personal things and stuff. So, but I will volunteer if, you know, if I can, but I want to volunteer after Christmas as well. So, my point is that it does get better. I still love the Christmas carols. I still go to a few shows during the, you know, run up to Christmas. And I don't like celebrate. I did host once my ex family, not him, but and it was a really hard work. So this year I could have invited them, but they have someone else joining them that I didn't feel like doing. And I was invited this year, and I just decided not to go because, like I said, I don't want. And his sister works really hard. I don't want to be a burden. What I am a bit surprised, Ian, and is that people that have known you for years and good friends, really good friends, I just wonder where this culture is from that you don't invite friends. I mean, I was a bit hurt. Now I'm over it. Why they don't even invite me? I might not have gone, you know. But why people don't invite? And I don't think I'm a horrible person, you know.
Everyone can hear you're not a horrible person. But I think that it's interesting what you said about you would only go in the evening because you don't want to sort of impose. And I think that's a very understandable thing, because if a family has a particular way of celebrating Christmas and they've done it the same way year on year, and then somebody comes in from the outside, even if they are close friends, it can be slightly awkward. And I remember that happened in our family once, where it just wasn't, I mean, I didn't want to be inhospitable, and I actually liked the person that came, but it just changed the dynamic. It wasn't the same Christmas. And if you are a traditionalist, you don't like change, do you? So it is understandable in some ways, I suppose.
So just to say to people like Daniel that called before, which is really difficult, I can empathize with him completely, and other people, it does get better. It's good he went for a walk. I'm going to go on a walk. And actually, you know, you can park if you drive. You can park everywhere. So it's a big plus as well. You know, I might take the opportunity and even drive into London, which I don't do during the year. So, it's such a difficult time for some people. But I did actually. I have a neighbor, she's on her own, and I invited her over today, and she said that she was fine, she has a friend over. So I was happy, at least I did something good, I tried.
Yeah.
But I do beat myself up, I'll tell you. When I was married, we had a neighbor and she was alone, and we didn't invite her. I didn't know her for a long time, but my ex-husband did. And up to date, I do beat myself up to it. And I said, why didn't I invite her? It just, it does bug me. It does bug me a lot. You know, it does bother me a lot. And I'm saying, well, maybe I'm being punished as well for, I don't believe in it, but you know, you just think like that sometimes.
Yeah, I think whenever people have negative thoughts, that sort of thing goes through your mind, but it really shouldn't. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you very much indeed for your call. Hannah says, Ian, great show. Can you please give a shout out to the veterinary teams working today? They include the vets, vet nurses, receptionists and animal care assistants working in fully staffed 24-hour pet hospital emergency services and vets on call in rural areas for all animals, including horses and farm animals. Very delighted to do that because those of us that have animals, we rely on our vets to help us throughout the year. Our vet in Tunbridge Wells, and I'm now trying to remember, Dacre House, that's it, Dacre House Veterinary Surgery. I'm going to give them a shout out. Bradley and his team there are absolutely fantastic. They really go that extra mile in caring for certainly our two dogs that we take to them. And particularly my Jack Russell dude, who's now the ripe old age of 14. And about, I don't know, 6 weeks, 2 months ago, we thought we were going to lose him. And he's now back to full fitness, and that is due in large part to Bradley and his team at Dacre House. So thank you to them. Right, we'll take more of your calls in a moment. Well, we haven't had any more singing people over the last hour. I'm feeling a bit bereft. I think we want a little bit more singing on the programme between now and 1 o'clock. If you'd like to sing me a song, Wish Me Happy Christmas by singing a Christmas carol or whatever, 0345 6060 973. And if you haven't got the courage, and I realise it does take quite a lot of courage to sing on the radio live, you could send a WhatsApp voice note to 0345 6060 973, and Mina can do some quality control on it. We've had some very good ones so far. We did have one last year which I could not decide whether was a prank call or not. In the end I decided it wasn't, but it could have been. It's 18 minutes past 12.
This is LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
That feeling when mum puts you in charge of making a side dish, but the recipe that looked so easy online ends up burning on your watch. There's no such thing as the perfect Christmas, but there are perfect moments. This year, make the most of moments that matter with Coca-Cola. Whether you're getting ready to feed the masses or chatting with your colleagues about this year's Christmas party, refresh your holiday spirit with Coca-Cola, the perfect drink for sharing in the moment. Coca-Cola, holidays are coming.
Hi, I'm Andrew from New Zealand and Australia travel specialist, Travel Essence. For a tailor-made holiday unlike any other, find your way to us. Our local knowledge saves you time and money, and our experience is your guarantee of quality. We are also members of ABTA and ETOL. Amazing journeys down under start at travelessence.co.uk.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quadrapillar Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot Bears. And four giant slides on the brand new Wave Runner 2. Let's plunge!
What's next, Dad?
Cannon Arena Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom Go-Karts, Trampolines, Magical Wood and Cafes.
Nutcatch Adventure Park.
The sun goes on and on and on and on.
Book now at nutcatch.com.
Get the news your way and combine breaking news with expert opinion to see the full picture.
With award-winning journalism on air and in your hand, the LBC app puts you in control.
The biggest stories of the day delivered how you want it
and when you want it.
Download the LBC app now.
News your way.
Now in your hands.
Ian Dale. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
1220. Happy Christmas, Ian, from your cousin James, Vanessa's son. He has to remind me who my cousin James... He's not actually a blood cousin, though. But see, my partner, John, he always thinks it's hilarious that I call all different people uncle or auntie, even though they're absolutely no relation to me. They might be by blood, I suppose. Anyway, he says, listening to your show whilst walking the dog. In fact, many people seem to be listening to the show Walking the Dog. I remember once when I was doing the For the Many podcast with Jackie Smith, doing a shout-out saying, how do you listen to the podcast? What are you doing while you listen to the podcast? And we had a message from Mike, who used to swim underwater up the River Dart listening to the For the Many podcast. He's now a Labour MP, ladies and gentlemen. If there are any other of my either near or distant relations listening to the programme today, maybe Cousin Nicola, Cousin Caroline, Auntie Esther, who's now, I think, 88. I'm not sure she'll be listening, but if she is, very happy Christmas. I might give her a call later. Christmas is a time when you do tend to phone up relatives that you might only speak to once or twice a year, isn't it? And I should be doing a little bit of that. And I'll also be phoning my friend Keith Simpson. Some of you will know him as used to be the Conservative MP for Broadland, or Mid-Norfolk. And he's in hospital today. He's been in hospital for several weeks now after having had a bit of a bad car accident and all sorts of other things. So I should be talking to him this afternoon. Doubt whether he's listening, but if you are listening, Keith, happy Christmas. And let's go to Sarah, or is it Sarah, in Brent? Hello.
Hello. Hi, Ian. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. I never know how to pronounce it when you don't have the H on the end. Is it Sarah?
I prefer Sarah, yes.
Excellent. Right, what would you like to tell me?
I just want to shout out to all healthcare working today. I'm a midwife doing home visits today, so I'm out on the street. And, yeah, it's nice because there is no traffic, but, yeah, you don't know always if the family would like to see you on that day.
And tell me, I mean, is Christmas Day a day when pregnant women would quite like to have their babies, or would they like it to be a little bit before or a little bit after generally?
Well, you can't really decide when your baby's about to come, but yeah, they try to organise it before or after. Yeah.
And sort of how many people do you see during the course of the day?
Well, actually today is a busy day, unexpectedly a busy day. It's about 10 visits. And I wasn't expecting that everyone would actually be happy to see me, but they are new moms. They are coming home with the new baby. They want someone to come and second them. So, yeah, I just wanted to shout out Happy Christmas to everyone, and I'm actually really happy to see these families today.
Well, Sarah, thank you very much indeed for phoning.
Thank you.
And it's great that you're doing this really important work on Christmas Day. There's many, many other people in not just the NHS, but also who work in the social care sector, who obviously people still need social care on Christmas Day, just as any other day. So let's give a shout out to them as well. James corrects himself, second cousin. Jodie is in Tunbridge Wells, where I will be heading in about 35 minutes time. Hello, Jodie.
Hi, I'm very nervous. I've never done this live.
Are you going to sing to me?
Yeah, but I just heard you say that you could record it if you want to, and I'm like, oh my God, why couldn't I have done that?
Too late now, Jodie.
I know, and so if I get a wrong note or something, I'm shaking, okay? Oh, God, I can't believe I'm doing this on Christmas Day.
Which bit of Tunbridge Wells are you in?
Langton Green.
Oh, right.
Very the other
posh.
Side of you,
very
yes.
Posh.
Well, you know. You know. Oh, God.
What are you going to sing?
I'm not singing. I didn't tell you. Okay, I can't sing, but my family tell me I'm very good at whistling, and I know whistling can be a bit...
Oh, my goodness.
No. If I get this right, it will be really nice, and it's Silent Night. I'm just going to do one verse.
You see, you are going to be whistling to somebody who actually can't whistle.
Oh, wow, okay. I thought you were going to say who can't stand whistling.
Well, I'm not going to say it's my favourite thing, but convince me.
No, I know, and when I hear other people whistle, I agree. But that's because they're not doing it right, Ian. They're all out of tune.
All right, go on. You've tantalised us for long enough. Get it over with.
Okay. I haven't got it on speaker. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this. I have no idea. Okay, so... Oh, God. Right, hold on. I'm so out. I'm shaking.
No, I'll tell you what. You've got those high notes because I was thinking, how's she going to do the high notes?
Yeah, no, I can do them, but I'm shaking.
No. You did brilliantly, and I'm very disgusted. Oh no, the applause is coming.
Oh my
You see, you can now go and have your Christmas lunch.
Oh, thank God, and a drink. Knowledge. I need a drink.
Yeah, I think you do. But in full knowledge that you've entertained the nation on national radio.
Oh, thank you. I would have done more, but I am shaking, and, you know, if I had a proper recording studio, it would have been absolutely perfect, obviously.
You see, Jodie, we're now going to go from the sublime to the ridiculous, because following you on the programme, we're going to speak to a Jewish Father Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Those are words that you never thought you'd hear on the radio, aren't they? Just as the rest of the audience thought they would never hear whistling on LBC, they're now... Thank you.
Well, if you need me back to do any more whistling, you know where to get me.
That's quite sufficient. Thank you. Jodie, great. Well, isn't that great? You see, this is what I love about Christmas morning. And what I love even more is Stephen in Edgware, who is visiting a hospital dressed as Father Christmas, and he's Jewish. Now, Stephen, for those of my audience who weren't listening to me yesterday afternoon, just explain why you, as a Jewish man, dress up as Santa.
I told you the story of how it all happened when my friend, who Steve Melzek, who ran the Christmas pudding race and raised a lot of money for in Covent Garden, raised money for cancer research. He wanted a Santa, but the outfit he gave me was terrible. So Beverly, my wife, said, "Let's get a decent one." And of course, we got the Father Christmas outfit, which one does, the deluxe version. And but I'm not using it for one event a year, so I got in touch with other charities, and I volunteer at a hospital, and it spread, and I now have this pleasure of volunteering at the hospital, being at the hospital, where I normally volunteer as Santa. And I must tell you, Ian, I've had a nightmare for the Santa. I had a nosebleed.
Oh, no. How did you notice with the red suit?
the nurse told me. The nurse told me. But anyway, I'll have to, at least I've got a year now to grow the next one, and I'm sure it will be sorted. I'm with actually a lovely, lovely patient. I don't know if you want to say hello to her.
Yes,
a lovely patient here. Do you want to say hello to Ian? LBC.
Oh, hello, Ian.
Hello.
I am absolutely privileged to sit down here with Father Christmas, a Jewish one. I didn't know that. And I am from Father Christmas's home country.
Are you?
I am.
So, now, what can you tell us about the heritage of Father Christmas?
Well, not an awful lot. Apart from we have a continuous competition with the Swedes. Because they very ruthlessly claim that Father Christmas comes from Sweden. Of course, it's nonsense. And even the Icelandics sometimes have the courage to say, actually, it's Icelandic nonsense. Finnish.
You're very proprietorial here.
Absolutely. Now, and I've got the one to prove it now.
Now, what's it like being in hospital on Christmas Day? Because I don't imagine that you've maybe got as many people working as would normally be. It's probably a bit of a weekend service in the hospital. But what are they doing to entertain you?
Well, everybody's being so kind, so very kind. I got a wonderful present from Father Christmas, of course. And I think it's just kindness. Absolutely wonderful kindness. This is my third Christmas ever in a hospital, so I can't compare. But I'm absolutely amazed.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Which hospital is it?
No, apparently it's a secret.
Oh, is it? Oh, all right.
Sorry, I'll hand you over. Sorry.
Okay.
Ian, I don't think it's not a secret, but I don't think I should say, really. I don't have authority to say.
All right, no, that's fine. So how much time are you spending there? And are you doling out presents?
Yes, there were lovely gifts for me to, all beautifully wrapped, for me to go around to give to all the patients. And we do this every year. Every year there's lovely gifts for them. And it's a privilege to come in on Christmas Day and try and give a bit of joy to the patients. I've also been, there's also a walk-in centre here, and I've been in there and given out chocolates and things to the staff and the patients.
Well, good on you, and I'm sure there are lots of other Santas all over the country doing similar things in different hospitals, and you're providing a really brilliant social service on Christmas Day, and Stephen, thank you very much for phoning in. James on Twitter says, listening to the brilliant show, Sweet Stories, it's Merry Christmas on this side of the pond, grandparents in Effingham, would call us in Canada and say Happy Christmas. You might hear Happy Holidays here, but just Merry Christmas. Enjoy the day. Yeah, Happy Holiday. I don't like that. No reason for saying I don't like it. I just don't, because I'm a traditionalist. Now, we quite like another couple of people singing before the end of the programme, or even whistling. I'll tell you what, Jodie, if you're still listening, I hope you are, you've gone down a storm on my message board here. Somebody says, this is from Rebecca, my cat loved Jodie's whistling. There's a joke there somewhere, isn't there? I think it probably mentions the phrase cat's chorus. No, seriously, Jodie, people absolutely loved it. Steve says, James, the robin here is listening to you on the radio. Interesting to see its reaction to the whistling. You don't actually tell us what the reaction was, though, Steve. It's 12:32. Time for the news.
The King has been joined by other members of the royal family for their Christmas Day service at Sandringham. Thousands of people have gathered at the Norfolk estate to see the royals. Wes Streeting has told LBC next Christmas he will still be the Health Secretary and not the Prime Minister. Mr. Streeting adds he feels the progress this year shows the NHS is on the road to recovery. And there are weather warnings for cold and windy conditions in the southwest of England and parts of Wales. Forecasters in Jersey say snowflakes have been spotted there this morning, making it the island's third white Christmas on record. LBC weather, a mostly dry Christmas day with sunny spells, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and northeast England, feeling very cold in the strong winds with highs of 7 degrees.
This is LBC.
Merry Christmas, my love.
Merry Christmas, Mum.
Merry Christmas, Nanny.
Happy New Year!
From the UK's first mobile phone call to the first text, we've been connecting you at Christmas since 1984 on Vodafone, the nation's network. The nation's network, Vodafone UK, supporting the nation since 1984. Learn more at vodafone.co.uk/TNN.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the media business. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Atina, a media business student in year 12.
Being a young creative at Global Academy means that I get to turn my passion into a career. From studying creative enterprise, I've already learnt how to market my own business and gain knowledge about the business side of the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
You weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at 2. We said 3. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are, thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including well man, well woman, well baby and well kid. From Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
This is LBC with Ian Dale. Call 0345 6060973.
12:35, your calls all the way until 1 o'clock. Now, I've got to tell you who's on LBC for the rest of the day, and the list has just gone. Oh, here it is. We have Nick Ferrari at Christmas at 1 o'clock, then Henry Riley between 3 and 7, and Simon Marks is sitting in for my show this evening, and indeed, I think, for quite a few days, from 7 till 10, and then, of course, it's the one and only Nick Abbott from 10 p.m. with his A to Z of the year. I think it's, is it the first one tonight, or did you do the first one last night? I think it's the first one tonight, so do make sure you listen to that. Lots of text still coming in on Jodie's whistling. Teresa says, that's good whistling. If you've never heard good whistling, that is good whistling. I'll take your word for it, Teresa. I must admit, I was possibly more impressed than I thought I might be. Shall I put it that way? Mike is in southwest France. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ian. Yes, I think you were asking about whether our pets are sitting around the Christmas table with
us. Yes, please tell me that yours are.
Well, they aren't at the moment. Well, we have too many of them. Since I've been in France, there's a stray cat problem near where I live, and we've been rescuing cats and kittens. But this year, we haven't been able to find homes for them. So this year, we've adopted another 10 little kittens.
Oh, my goodness.
That's this year.
So how many did you have before that?
Probably about 12. Yes, wow. It's a lot, isn't it?
That is a lot.
Well, the thing is, a lot of them live outside most of the time, but because here it's rural here, and I've got several barns, and in the past, female cats that have had litters, we've got the litter to have adopted homes. The mother we've had neutered and let her go, but she stays in the barn. So we've got a collection of cats in the barn. And we've also got three dogs, which, in fact, one of the dogs, Lucia, has come from Ukraine.
And how do the dogs get on with the cats?
They get a bit fed up with it when the dog's curling up in front of the log fire and the cats want to sleep on top of them. The dogs and the cats who live in the house have had roast duck for Christmas dinner.
Okay.
And, well, yeah, the outdoor cats have had to put up with just cat food. But it, also the fact that our newest bunch of kittens, there's five of them, are just getting round to exploring the house. And one of the problems is, when you sit down for a meal, you find you've got four or five kittens prodding your plate, seeing what you've got.
I'm sure they are. And do they... I mean, 22 cats and three dogs, your vet's bill must be astonishing.
It's... I prefer not to think about it.
All of your neighbours around where you live, do they think that you are sort of eccentric English people who have an obsession with rescuing animals?
No, they tend to complain that we seem to collect stray cats.
Well,
my argument is that while they're here, they're not bothering them.
They ought to be grateful.
But it's often round here, the cats are treated like vermin.
Yeah.
And they're sometimes kept just to keep mice out of the barn. And so very few people actually neuter their animals, and so there's a proliferation. Here, every cat we have here, apart from the ones that are too young, has been neutered, which we pay for ourselves because we can't... We get no help for it, but it's the point is that to watch a mother cat, a stray cat, try to raise a litter of kittens and feed herself, it is... to somewhat tear-jerking.
And do they all have names? How do you remember them all?
I can't. One of our oldest cats is called Henry. And Henry is a beautiful long-haired black cat. And Henry we found with its litter mate in a cardboard box outside the tip. And Henry was due to have his little op. Ooh. And having taken him and his brother to the vet, just before we left, said, excuse me, we have a little problem. He said, what's up? He said, well, your two little boys, since they've arrived at the vet, have turned into two little girls. So we have a girl cat called Henry.
I wondered where that conversation was going, Mike. I wondered whether we were about to enter the world of transdom, but thank goodness we didn't. Thank you very much indeed for the call. Let's go to Sue in Merton, or is it Merton?
Hello, hi.
Hello, Sue. What would you like to say?
I'd like to sing a song, please.
Go ahead, make my day.
I've just had a sip of water. First of all, can I give a shout out to the Include Choir of Red Hill? Because I wrote this song, it's Sing and Sign Choir, and I wrote this song where the sign of the week, Mackerton, was mistletoe, so I wrote it then.
Excellent, okay? Yes.
So thank you very much for that. It's called Mistletoe. Though mistletoe grows in the strangest of places, the worries of life disappear from our faces. When love is rekindled or just begun, with a kiss neath the berries, its work is done. Mistletoe, growing so high, you'd be pardoned for thinking it lives in the sky. And all around the world, it brings people together. A simple berry, a promise forever. Mistletoe, where do you go when winter has gone? Mistletoe, where do you go when Christmas has gone? Da-dee-da-dee-da-dum, da-da-dee-dum-dum, da-da-dee-da-dum, dum-dee-da-dee,
we thought you'd finished.
Da-da-dee. So on and so on.
Well, yeah, that's brilliant. I have to say, the only song I know with mistletoe in the title is Mistletoe and Wine by Cliff Richard, which is one song of his that I don't like, but your version with mistletoe is excellent.
Thank you so much. And it's a fact, it does grow so high, and you'd think it lives in the sky. So, yeah, it's a real thing.
It's almost like a West Ham song. They grow so high, nearly reach the sky, just like my dreams. And I promised I wouldn't sing. Oh, see, excellent. What a great call. Sue, thank you very much. Have a great day. Claire says, I just wanted to say you're brilliant. Well, you can say that. I'm quite happy to accept that. I'm not, but anyway. And so pleased to be listening to you while I'm preparing dinner for my family. You've got me through this year, even if we don't always agree. Thank you for treating us to you on the most special day. That's Claire in Longfield. Phoebe is on the line, who I'm told is aged 11 and has parental permission, presumably, to sing, Phoebe.
Yeah.
What are you going to sing for us?
I'm singing Merry Christmas by Ed Sheeran.
Go on, then.
So kiss me under the mistletoe, pour out the wine, let's toast and pray for December snow. I know there's been pain this year, but it's time to let it go. Next year you'll never know, but for now, Merry Christmas.
Excellent. See, Ed Sheeran songs, I think, are quite difficult to sing, but I think you pulled that off absolutely brilliantly. Phoebe, what have you had for Christmas? What's your best present so far?
I got an Alexa.
A what?
An Alexa, which plays music.
Right. Well, you're obviously a very musical person.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed, and have a great day, a great rest of the day. This is a text, says, Happy Christmas. It was announced yesterday that Saudi Arabia is building its first church. Well, that's a noteworthy thing, isn't it? This is from John, is it John? Who says, Merry Christmas to you and all the people at LBC who have listened to a lot for over 30 years now. Especially thank you and God bless to Steve Allen. He seems to have vanished. Well, he's still very much in existence. We wish him a very Merry Christmas as well. Now, we've got 14 more minutes. I think we have time for at least one more song and several more calls. So we'll come to those in a moment. It's 12:46.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Nick Ferrari at Christmas.
Stay tuned to find out how the Conservative Party leader unwinds on Christmas Day, how the Health Secretary cooks his turkey, and how one former Prime Minister wants to stage a counter-revolution.
Nick Ferrari at Christmas. From 1, listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Merry Christmas, my love.
Merry Christmas, Mum.
Merry Christmas, Mummy.
Happy New Year!
From the UK's first mobile phone call to the first text, we've been connecting you at Christmas since 1984 on Vodafone, the nation's network. The Nation's Network, Vodafone UK, supporting the nation since 1984. Learn more at vodafone.co.uk/TNN.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head to BetVictor.
Why's that?
They've got more features than you can shake a stick at. They've got cash out, they've got in-play football, racing, tennis, all your favourite sports. They've got the best odds guaranteed on racing, and then there's the Bet Builder. And, of course, you've got the lucky dip. Blimey, dip! I've got to go, fella. It's Nacho Night at Casa Rednap. And holy moly, I forgot the guacamole. Ay, caramba.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at BetVictor. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
We weren't supposed to burn the potatoes or invite everyone round at 2. We said 3. You weren't supposed to fall asleep on the sofa or ask me to marry you. And you weren't supposed to be here. But you are. Thanks to the best gift you ever got. And mine is still having you.
When you donate to the British Heart Foundation, you give a gift that keeps on living. Search BHF today and help us fund life-saving research.
There's always a lot going on. I'm on site getting the job done, running the business too, payments, invoices, admin, all on me. But now with Tap to Pay, I can take payments there and then, and Sage sorts the admin afterwards. Everything's sorted in the background, so I don't spend hours doing it later. Magic.
Sage Copilot is built with over 40 years of experience, helping British businesses like Mike at Residual Electrical Contractors. That's more than artificial intelligence. That's authentic intelligence. Search Sage Copilot to learn more. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC. Message Ian Dale on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60973.
12:48 on LBC. Right, let's go to Jonathan and Sienna. Jonathan, hi.
Hello there. Happy Christmas.
And to
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas.
Hello, Sienna. Right, now, why are you ringing? I presume that one of you is going to sing a little ditty.
We thought we'd both sing for you and the listeners. You've reached out and asked people to share songs. You've had some wonderful music, some whistling, and we thought we'd get involved, if that's all right.
Well, a duet is always a risky thing to do, isn't it?
It is, and we've only had a couple of goes round, and there's a few sherries already consumed just by me, I have to say. So, no, this is going to be good, Ian, and I really appreciate you having us on.
OK, well, you've hyped yourselves up, so let's hear it.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm,
all is bright.
Round God's virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
Well, I thought that was excellent, but we haven't had the
applause. Thank you very much.
Is somebody going to play the applause? I think they deserve
it. We'll clap ourselves. It's all good, Ian.
Thank honestly.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being on the radio today as well.
A bit belated.
Really
Jonathan, if I may say so, you need to curb your dominating instincts there, because you were quite loud compared to Sienna. We wanted to hear a bit more of Sienna.
I'm so sorry. It was much closer to her, and I'm so sorry, because her voice is absolutely beautiful. We've been told not to be on loudspeaker, so I'm sorry if that did go way round. The tune was therefore missed.
It was great. Thank you very much indeed, and happy Christmas to you both. Now, somebody is correct, well, basically making an observation about when I asked Phoebe what she got for Christmas, I thought I heard her say elector, and I was thinking, well, what's that? But as someone points out here, Ian Dale is the only human in the world not to know what Alexa is. Well, I heard Electo. I didn't hear her say Alexa, but sorry for that. Kit is in Liverpool. Hello, Kit.
Merry Christmas, Ian.
And the same to you.
Do you know what, my darling? You always make me giggle at any time. And I'm awful sorry because I'm going to inflict upon you one more time the good old whistling, right? Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've got something to beat.
I know I have. I'm jolly well really rather shaking in my winter boots, you know. But you said you can't whistle. Well, let me tell you a dead quick story. I remember when I was a little girl, I was one of 11 children and I had 8 brothers, all of whom could whistle. And there was one day years ago, well, I was only about 3 or 4, and chitty, chitty, bang, bang came to our local park. And literally, they were queuing miles, you know, to see it. But I'd been naughty. I can't remember what I'd done. But I'd been naughty and I'd been sent upstairs to my bedroom. And I was absolutely devastated because I really wanted to see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. But whilst I was waiting, and in obviously in the grey clouds, like with a naughty girl, my brother's always whistling and I kept going, and then suddenly this came out of nowhere. But what happened was one of my elder brothers actually climbed up the drain pipe to my bedroom and he took me down the drain pipe on his back to take me to the park to see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I'm speechless. Well, I did learn how to
whistle. I'm speechless.
Good, 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 good. No, because I love when you speak shibble. That's a word I just made up. Right. Listen, and also, anyone who takes the time, today of all days, to write a horrible message to somebody for whatever reason.
I know. Why would people do that?
They must be desperately unhappy. They deserve you, Pissy, not your anxiety. Mm. They're literally, to be so horrible, you've got to be a really, 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 you've got to be in a bad place, haven't you?
Well, I don't know. Right.
Anyway, would you like to render?
I would love it. What are you going to do?
I'm going to whistle to you, rocking around the Christmas tree.
What could possibly go wrong?
My lips don't work. That was what could go wrong. But if they do go wrong, it's just a glitch. Don't worry about
it. Okay, go on.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
My loins are girded.
See that level? You made me laugh. Okay, wait. Okay, 1 second. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Excellent, I think.
Does that mean that you're now deaf in your left ear and you really won't be able to hear anybody?
Well, I'm going to let our audience decide whether you were better than our previous whistler.
No, it isn't the competition.
No, it isn't. Well, as my mother would say, it's always the taking part that is the most important thing.
Does that mean you
think she was wrong then and she's wrong now?
Does that mean you think I sounded enough?
No, not at all. I think it had a certain quality to it. Shall I try and whistle now myself?
Please do, darling. Okay. You would make my Christmas
okay,
day.
Go on.
Right, please.
Okay.
you're having a... Put your lips closer together.
No. I'm not going to do any more because it would be silly.
Anyway, do you know what? It really doesn't matter. No. Just speaking to you has made my Christmas day because I think... absolutely lovely. I don't always see eye to eye with you on everything, but I love the way that you try to stay unbiased and balanced and you're kind to everyone.
I never try and stay unbiased. I've got my own views and I express them, but because we're not the BBC, we don't have to be unbiased. We can express our opinions. But Kit, I'm glad I've made your day. You've made mine. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the radio. Lots of people commenting on Jonathan and Sienna. Matt says, Sienna is great. The chap, he turned up, which is kind. That's not nasty. Michael says, you can't beat a tremulous vibrato at Christmas time, can you, Ian? I wouldn't know. Ben is in Stafford. Hello, Ben.
Good afternoon, Ian. It's lovely to speak to you. Just wanted to wish all the listeners, the team, yourself and your partner, a very Merry Christmas. And it's very entertaining listening to you. If Nick Abbott's ever off, think you found your second calling, honestly.
Do you now? I'll tell you what. I stood in for Nick at during COVID. He had terrible technical problems broadcasting from home, and I used to get a phone call from my boss saying, "Can you step in and take over the Nick Abbott show?" And honestly, his listeners hated the fact that I was on. I mean, I thought I was doing them a favour by stepping in, but they didn't like it at all.
It's the political side. The reason I've called is I want to personally thank you because I'm registered blind, and in the last 15 months, I've lost 90% of my vision. So today is a new milestone. It's Christmas without Christmas because I can't see two Christmas cards. There's no presents. I'm making my own Christmas. Listening to you is really entertaining, and you're not my favourite LBC presenter. Oh.
That took a turn.
I'm sorry to say that, but you had the most respect because some of the stuff that you do, where you do your specialist hours, like the ones you've done on disability and sight impairment, have nearly had me in tears. And it's some of the most powerful, incredible content I've heard anywhere.
Well, that's very kind of you, and it means a lot to me to hear you say that, because those hours that we generally do at 9 o'clock, they might bring you to tears. Well, as you probably heard over the years, they often bring me to tears as well, because I'm talking to people who are experiencing things that I can't ever think about experiencing, and in many cases, hopefully never will. But it's a real education to talk about some of these subjects, which are very difficult, particularly when you're talking to people about, I mean, you're saying you've lost 90% of your sight. Well, I mean, I'm just trying to think, how would I be able to cope with that myself?
I'm going through a bereaving process, and I'm kind of accepting it. I've done extraordinarily well this year, Ian. I mean, no disrespect and offence to you when I say you're not my favourite. That sort of changed over time, and I'm quite centrist, and I've listened to every single show you've done this year. I have Global Player on in the background, and between LBC content and Level 3 of where you're working, I listen to Heart as well, and I'll be keeping Guy company when he's on air on Heart, and I'll be having a chat with him and on air with him, and I'm making my own Christmas. This is the most rewarding version rather than the traditions you would normally do.
Ben, thank you so much for your call, I hope you managed to enjoy Christmas in a way that maybe possibly you weren't expecting to before the day dawned. Trudy says, thank you, Ian, for your show was so lovely. It made me laugh, cry and feel less lonely. Bless you and happy Christmas. Well, Trudy, if that is how it's made you feel, I hope other people have felt the same. I've really enjoyed doing it. And I'll be back tomorrow to do it all again at 10 o'clock. It might be a slightly different show to today, tomorrow. But thank you for all of your calls and messages this afternoon. As I say, I'll be back tomorrow from 10 a.m. Coming up at 7 on LBC, it's Simon Marks. But right now, settle in for Nick Ferrari and a Christmas special interview with Health Secretary Wes Streeting.
Thanks, Ian. You're listening to Nick Ferrari at Christmas. Coming up...
There is now something to oppose. So the hardest time to oppose a government is when they've just got in, because you don't really know what they're about, what they're going to do.
The leader of the Conservative Party, Kemi Badenoch, reflects on her year as leader of the opposition and reveals who does the cooking on Christmas Day. Plus...
You've got to put plenty of butter on and baste your turkey really well.
Find out how the unhealthy Secretary, Wes Streeting, cooks his turkey. I'll also be joined by businessman Lord Rose, former Prime Minister Liz Truss, and more. And I'll have a panel of LBC presenters with me to unpack the year in news. All that and more coming up after the 1 o'clock news here on LBC.
On your radio.
From Global Newsroom
on Global
at
Player,
1 o'clock. The King and Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, the King and other members of the royal family have been greeting the crowds after their traditional Christmas day at Sandringham. Thousands gathered outside the Norfolk estate to see them after their Christmas church service.
The good thing is you can get a lot closer to them as well. If you go to the events in London, they're all a lot further away.
Well, I speak to them all every year about something or other. It's Charlotte, because I've loved watching, and she's now becoming more vocal.
Hopefully me to meet Prince William today, and Catherine, and the children.
King Charles will deliver his Christmas message from Westminster Abbey later, his second Christmas Day speech outside of a royal residence. You'll be able to hear the full address here at 3 o'clock. Pope Leo XIV has delivered his first Christmas Day homily. He urged people to remember the people of Gaza being exposed for weeks to rain, wind and cold, and said the world's conflicts can only be silenced through dialogue. The pontiff led the Christmas Day Mass from the central altar beneath the balustrade of St. Peter's Basilica, adorned with floral garlands and clusters of red poinsettias. There are weather warnings for cold and windy conditions in the southwest of England and parts of Wales. Health officials are warning of a potential impact to services, with the cold alert coming into effect at 6 o'clock this evening. The Met Office says it's highly unlikely that we'll get any snow this Christmas Day, but forecasters in Jersey say snowflakes have been spotted, making it the island's third white Christmas on record. Hundreds of people in Southern California have been forced to leave their homes following a powerful storm. There are warnings of flash flooding and mudslides, with evacuation notices in Los Angeles, San Bernardino and Orange County. Officials in the US say more showers and thunderstorms are possible today. And the Health Secretary has told LBC it's a nice feeling to tell the public the government have delivered on bringing down hospital waiting lists. Speaking to Nick Ferrari at Christmas, Wes Streeting has been asked about his future.
This time next year, will you be making your mystery shopper trips to hospitals as Health Secretary or Prime Minister?
As Health Secretary.
So Keir will still be Prime Minister?
I expect so.
Thousands of swimmers have braved the icy waters for the traditional festive swims across the UK. Some have been cancelled in the southwest because of those cold weather and wind alerts. LBC weather staying dry this Christmas Day with sunny spells for many of us, cloudy in parts of eastern Scotland and northeast England, feeling very cold in the strong winds with highs of 7 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Emily Lang.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Nick Ferrari at Christmas.
Good afternoon and welcome to Nick Ferrari at Christmas. Thanks for joining me today. We're in for a busy show this afternoon, including special guests, Health Secretary Wes Streeting, former Chancellor Sir Jeremy Hunt, leader of the Conservative Party, Kemi Badenoch, and more to unpack the year in news and politics. I'll also be joined by a panel of my LBC colleagues, Rachel Johnson, Henry Riley and Natasha Clark, as well as Christian May from City AM. But first, I spoke with former Prime Minister Liz Truss. She was PM for under 2 months back in 2022, and since then she's made it her mission to take on those who she claims brought her down, achieved in part by the launch of her new weekly YouTube show. But we started off by reflecting on the last time we met face to face.
Liz Truss, the last time I physically saw you was in a hotel suite in Birmingham some 3 years ago. You look very well and Christmassy. How's your life?
It came very well, thank you, Nick. Yes, that was a dark day, I think.
There were a few dark days. Now, is this right? You're going to steal my job? You're becoming some big TV media star.
Well,
Tell us about this.
Because I want to free you up to run to be mayor of London. You need more time,
enough.
So I've decided to nobly substitute for you. So it's called the Liz Truss Show.
And it's the home of the counter-revolution.
That's right.
Come on, Liz, what are we revolting against?
We're revolting against the establishment that's run this country into the ground. And, you know, when I was prime minister and when I was a minister, I was fighting these people. And what I discovered was that I was battling not just the institutions themselves, like the Bank of England, but I was also battling the mainstream media who were their lackeys. So I decided that we need a media revolution like we've seen in America with things like Megyn Kelly and Joe Rogan. And I thought, if nobody else is going to do it, I thought, why not do it myself?
What's the difference, do you think, in the audience taste? Do you think, because years ago I worked in the States, I worked on Fox News, there's no way you'd have known
that. Is this a bid to come on my show?
No.
I love it.
You can't afford me. Do you think we are as extreme and we can tune into material in the way that the Americans can, or are the Brits a little more guarded, Liz?
If you look at the public are actually more right-wing on immigration than the American public, for example. So I don't think there's a fundamental difference between the public's views in America and the public's views in Britain. I actually think they're very similar. The issue is we have a much more suppressed discussion in this country. You know, people get arrested and they're getting jailed for things they're posting on X. So I think our problem is with a powerful elite It's not with the views of the general public. I think the views of the general public are not, you know, they're completely out of sympathy with Keir Starmer. He's the most unpopular prime minister in history. He's only been in office for just over a year. So I think the issues we face are an issue of a very powerful elite who simply just won't get out of the way.
You mentioned the BBC. Obviously, we're talking as the president has issued proceedings against them. A lot of commentators, Liz, say there's no way out of this from the BBC. If they were to write a whopping cheque to the president, licence fee payers are going to be furious. If they spend millions defending themselves in a court in Florida, licence fee payers are going to be furious. What course of action would you recommend?
Well, I'd rather my money was going to Donald Trump's media than the BBC, that's for sure. So, but what, you know, the whole...
You've been quoted
the
in whole, Trump's legal papers.
I have been quoted in Trump's
and
legal...
And does that, how do you feel about that, that he's looking to you?
Well, I feel it's good that he knows that he's got some allies on this side of the Atlantic and not all of us like the output of the BBC. I think it's an affront to democracy, the fact that they claim to be a public service broadcaster and have been lying. And they haven't just lied about President Trump. You know, they are an outrageous organisation and their time is up. And the sooner they give up, the better.
The time is, i.e. no reform, total scrap and redo.
I think they have to go. I mean, what happened in America is Donald Trump withdrew all the funding from PBS. That is what has to happen to the BBC.
All money goes. So what would replace it, or nothing would? Market forces would replace it?
Market forces would replace it.
Okay, okay. And all the other content that it does, the supposed soft power of the world service that I read
about... How's the soft power going for Britain? How's it going? I don't think our soft power is doing a very good job, do you?
What do you make of how the BBC covered the Middle East?
Well, they were found as being biased against Israel by an independent study. I mean, we know that their coverage has been biased. And I just think in this day and age, it's pretty much impossible to get impartial institutions. You know, LBC is not impartial. That's fine. It's a private sector organisation. You know, the Telegraph is not impartial. None of these things are impartial. But we kind of pretend that the BBC is impartial and the Bank of England is impartial. No, they're not. The problem is they've got unaccountable power because they're getting taxpayers' money and they're using it to promote their worldview. And I think that is probably the biggest problem in Britain. I think it's why our country's in such a mess. And, you know, I'm very pleased that President Trump has started to deal with it on our behalf.
What level of contact have you had with the president?
Well, I've met him in the past. I'm friendly with various people in the administration.
Well, he's obviously supportive of what you're doing because he's quoted you in his legal documents, or his team has quoted you in his legal documents, hasn't they? So there is a relationship.
Yeah, and I think he's doing a great job in America. You know, I have said I want to see a Trump-style revolution here in Britain. I think we need, I said this last year, but we need a bigger bazooka to deal with the sheer power of the unelected.